welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, we got a full play today. First, the phone number, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, is calling in with his tutor, Jeff Ross, if he can wake up.
He better be heating up, Christian. He's only got a couple weeks now to his big first debut on the stage.
Yeah, it's time for him to become razor sharp. Jeff Ross is, of course, the king of the roast. We have our big event coming up on May 10th at the Improv. Who else? Jeff's going to be there. We'll have David Alan Greer is going to be performing.
I don't know why Representative Richard Martin's going to be there.
It's going to be a tough crowd for him.
Conservative creep.
Yeah, he's going to be there. The list goes on and on. Usually when you hear someone say the list goes on and on, it means there's three people you've never heard of. That's code for the list goes on and on. The list goes on and on means three people you've never heard of, and
well,
I'd like to help.
What about you? You're going
to
be there.
I'll be emceeing.
Bruska's going to do a topless dance.
Mm-hmm. Bruska just removed one card I had and replaced it with exactly the same card, did he not?
We added a name.
Ah, okay. And now the list goes on and on and on. There's four names you've
Bruska,
never heard of.
Instead of that, how about this? In Touch magazine, one of the big entertainment magazines, has an article a month ago in it featuring one Adam Carolla in his lovely home.
That's a big pool.
How come nobody found this? How could it be that people are dispatched to look these things up, entertainment news,
Big Cat's got the WWF, too. I mean, he has to chart every movement of the WWF on his laptop for 6 hours a day. He has enough time.
Dave, did you see this
to
house?
Open those up.
I've
Thank
seen
him.
It. Yes,
I'd move
thing
in.
Claudia DeFalco, you may move in. Claudia is here sitting in once again, doing the news. And generally just gussing up the place, looking good. A lot of ugly in this room. But it ain't coming from Claudia's face,
Some
I'll
woman.
Tell you that right now. All right, let me just get back to this for a second. Wednesday, May 10th, at the Improv, Christian, 13-year-old comedian, Jeff Ross, 36-year-old comedian, and David Alan Greer. And again, the list goes on and on. I'll be there, Dave will be there, Brusk will be there. We'll all be there. Let me try to get something in order here. We spoke about sort of finding your muse, finding it early. Everybody who's successful in life knew what they wanted to do when they were 13 years old. Nobody who's successful found out what they wanted to do when they were 45. They may have finally started doing what they wanted to do at 45, but they were thinking about it when they were 13.
Right.
They always do that thing where the guy says, I always loved animals, or I always loved airplanes, or I always loved dance. I never knew what to do with it. And then I got my law degree, and then I started practicing law. And then when I was 42, I thought there must be more than this. So I started volunteering over at the shelter. And the next thing you know, I bought some land, and now me and my wife raise this thing for wild animals or abuse. I've never been happier.
Mm-hmm.
So it always ends up, you end up getting back to the thing. You sort of know, if you think about it, and this is Christian in his comedy, this is what's bringing me this. You're sort of born pure. I don't want to sound too corny, but you'll know what you want to do when you're young. Later on, people start whispering in your ear, you got to get a degree in this, or your dad is a doctor, you have to become a doctor, or there's some family business that's going to be handed down, or you get someone pregnant when you're 19 and you have to get some gig at UPS that you don't really want. But somewhere when you're young, somewhere third, fourth, fifth grade, you know what you want to be. Now, sure, some of this stuff is lofty. Everybody wants to be a rock star, astronaut, rapper, whatever, athlete. But then there's the one that's just under there. The thing you kind of get off doing, the thing you have a natural leaning toward. You love constructing things. You love working with your hands, or you love working with people, or you love whatever it is. That's the one you have to listen to. And you may as well start focusing on that early. And I believe it's the job of the schools to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Too, the idea that we're trying to funnel everyone into college. Half the people that walk, you know, three quarters of the people that went to North Hollywood High, where I went, clearly weren't cut out for college. So a quarter of them go off to college, and then the other three quarters spend 6 years going to junior college, again, trying to fit the square peg into the round hole, trying to force a shoe on that wouldn't fit. It's like somebody says, no, you should be going to college. And I could kind of remember, like, 16, 17, you're going to college? Who's going to college? You're going to college? You know, when you go over to your friend's house and their parents would say, are you going? Well, are you going? You're going to college? Well, yeah, I mean, I was a couple years of junior college, and then I transfer right into MIT, you know.
Well,
few years of smoking weed and playing hacky sack over at the Snack Shack and doodling on a peachy folder, and then, pow, it's right into Stanford.
That's right. Listen, I hate this. I brought this up just yesterday. The idea that these schools, the man has determined what we all need to focus on, and it's apparently it's math. You know, we all, what gives? Okay, we have to learn to add. I agree. Subtract. Times tables up to 10, maybe 12 I'll sign off on. Long division, okay. After that, leave me alone. What do I need to learn how to do calculus or algebra or geometry? Did. It's nonsense. It's a waste of my time, and this is what you're talking about.
Yes.
I'm not going to become a scientist. No. I knew that at 12. They should ask people.
Yes, you as parents should look at your kids and see where they're leaning. They right. will tell you.
Well, I think the idea is everybody tells kids that unless they go to college, they're going to be losers. I didn't go to college. I started working right away. I feel like what I've learned out there working in the real world, college would have never taught me.
Sure.
I saved money, didn't drink for 4 years into a stupor. And I feel that sometimes when people ask me, so what college did you go to?
Yeah.
I didn't. I worked.
Listen, I gotta be honest. They do not teach having sex with producers in college. Claudia's right. I agree, sweetie Pino.
At least I slept my way up to the top. Look at where I am this morning.
Give me a warm-up and a Hummer now and let the boys finish talking. No, it's true. The best thing you can do is on-the-job training, obviously. And then as you look around in society, whether it's the military, whether it's the guy who's working at the gas station or driving the bakery truck, I don't know what percentage of people need degrees, but it seems like if 9 out of 10 people didn't have them, we'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have, you know, it doesn't count in this room. And people always say that, well, sure, you know, you don't have a piece of paper, but you have this knowledge. Hey, listen, watch cable.
There's nothing you need to know. Listen, I did 4 years of college. I'm telling you, I'm here to say to you, I went to, well, maybe I'm a bad example because I went to roughly 40% of my classes over the 4 years. But still, all you learn at college is socializing. This is what you learn is how to comport yourself.
You should.
I was a nerd in high school. I never talked to a girl.
No.
So I went to college, and then and then you talk to girls and stuff. That's what you learn there.
And by the way, you should have that social interaction part down by about the 6th or 7th grade. Dylan?
Yes, Ace Man, get it on.
Get it on. People don't say get it on enough anymore.
Well, now we bring it back.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that back. Get it on. Yeah.
Yes, the man, get it on.
What's happening, Dylan?
Hey, I was just curious. You guys haven't mentioned anything about how to get tickets to the Improv to see that.
Could see. I should have went to college. Yeah, here's what you do. You go to HollywoodImprov.com.
Alrighty.
HollywoodImprov.com. If you go there, Bruska, there will be something on the site about this show.
Yes.
Wednesday, May 10th.
As well as AdamCarolla.com. They can check.
AdamCarolla.com or HollywoodImprov.com.
Alright, that sounds sweet. And what you're saying about the junior college is totally true.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to a counselor for those places, they don't like it to be called junior college anymore. They like to call it community college.
Yes, I know, and I would like to add a second junior to it.
Yeah.
I believe there's no shame factor in it anymore. It's got the word college in it. It just seems like you didn't order the superstar burger over Carl's Jr. You got the baby star. Almost seems like you're containing yourself a little bit. Now, junior, look, if you're a horrible student in high school, you'll be a worse student in junior high because, I'm sorry, junior college, although the curriculum is tougher in some junior highs. The thing about junior college is it's all the things of high school, but there's no notes. There's nobody asking. There's nobody calls home, wants to know where you are. It's no regulations. It's a prison with no warden and no guards and no fence. And now you'll take over. I mean, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of the taxpayers' dollars. Nothing going on over there. I've said many times, I only want foreigners there. Whitey, you're out. Because here's the thing. Yes, there are people that come here from Indonesia and they join the nursing program. They're in their 40s. You know, they've come to junior college to do something. The rest, just a bunch of Tad's friends. Just a bunch of slackers hanging out, looking to lay low. You know what it is? It's how you buy yourself a few years before you have to actually start your horrible job. That's what junior college is. It gets your stepdad and your mom off your ass for about 2 years, buys you about 2 years. And, you know, you do that. First off, nobody ever knows their kid's schedule at junior college. You know, because your dad could come in your room at noon on a Wednesday and go, listen, son, I normally leave the house at 6, but I got to pick up the car today over the transmission plate. What do you still do? My first class on Wednesday starts at 1. Nobody ever knows anyone's schedule. You come and go as you please, and nobody wants to see your grades, and you buy yourself about 2 years, and then you realize you're a horrible student, and you go get a crappy
job.
Guess
what? I got news for you. That's regular college, too, except that you're not living with your parents. You're off in some college town. Where they really aren't even able to keep an eye on you. This is college.
I wonder how many people lie that they went to college on their resumes.
It's a great, that we've discussed that before, it is a great tactic to employ. You don't need to go to college. That's the big secret. No employer checks your records. If you're going to go to medical school, they look. Law school, things like this. Then you need to go. If you're if you're just getting a Bachelor of Arts, you could just write it on your resume. No one will ever know the difference.
And people are impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, all you need is about two things. I went to Amherst. Oh. What was your team over at Lord Jeff's? I know it's a stupid name. It's embarrassing.
That's right. Yeah.
What was your man, Poli Sci? I did a minor in a hotel management, but I never took off. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're done.
That's
everyone
it.
Believes you
Listen,
for the rest of your life.
Save them. Everybody, the big thing with politicians is now we in the 21st century must make college available to every American child. No, we don't. If you want to go be a doctor, all right. A rocket scientist, all right. A college football player, all right. Otherwise, no school. Everybody shouldn't go to
Get
school.
Get to work. Learn a trade. Shut up. Jose, thank you.
Yeah, what's up? Dude?
The more you know. You have a question?
Yeah. Hey, Adam. I do have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I work at a pretty much prominent hotel, and there's a girl that I met last night.
At a hotel?
At a hotel and casino in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and my question is, she left her jacket with all her ID, all her credit cards, et cetera, in
mm-hmm.
it.
You make sweet love to it. And then you take the newspaper and you cut out different letters. You make a ransom note. Remember they used to do that in the 70s?
If you wanted to,
in the 70s, if you kidnap somebody, they may die. You know, you bury them alive. They only have 3 days to live down there, but it takes you 4 days to make the ransom note because you have to cut it out from 15 different periodicals.
Hold on a second.
What happened to making ransom notes where you cut out the different letters from the different newspapers? And it says, the little girl's going to die. Yeah. You know, in the weird letters, they wear that, play that weird music. It's that weird, scary, not the Sting music, but not the weird classical Sting, but the weird, the macabre, the bent stuff they'd make when the person was high looking in the funhouse mirror. You'd open it up. You saw that letter, you knew there was trouble. That letter never said happy birthday or mazel tov on it or you guys should stay married for another 25 years. Best of luck. It's always, I'm going to let the little girl die. It's always a weird letter. What do we do now? We just print our own ransom notes or?
Well, I mean, they have to, when they're holding a child hostage, they need to get that money to help fray the cost of all the magazines that it took to compile that. Where are they getting all those big letters from?
And by the way, what else do you need? If you pull up into some guy's apartment and you open a Time or an Us or whatever and you see a bunch of letters cut out, this guy's going in.
Where's the little girl?
Yeah.
That'd be really creepy to make someone a birthday card like that, though.
We should do that.
Send someone a birthday card. Yeah. Happy birthday.
I'm just saying I could see the old kidnappers talking to today's kids kidnappers. Yeah. Oh, you guys don't know how good you have it with your word processors and your computers. No, no. We take weeks, sometimes months, making a note.
Well, that's great, but Adam,
sorry, Jose. Yes.
I did not kidnap her.
Oh, okay.
She was a bar guest.
You work at a hotel casino in Vegas.
He didn't kidnap her. He just murdered her.
You do not have to.
I did not murder her.
You don't have to make. By the way, hold on a second. Hold on.
Okay.
You don't have to put the word casino at the end of anything in Vegas. You don't have to say hotel. Oh, casino. We assume if there are people there, it's a casino.
Yeah, everything. The airport is a casino.
Airport's a casino. There's cab casinos. They have AIDS hospice casinos over there. There's no if I hear something Vegas, I hear casino.
Plasma donation.
Casino. That's right. The medical triage center, casino, blood bank, casino, morgue, casino, crematorium. Casino, it's all there.
Yeah, all right. I got off of work, and I helped her. I helped her get away from this guy that's like 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she left her jacket there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, right now I'm holding her jacket with her ID and everything
all
else.
All right, we got that part.
All right. The only thing I want to know is, like, should I return it to her or should I just give it to security?
Well, was she hot?
Yeah.
Are you into her?
Yeah.
We have her phone number?
No, because she was too drunk and everything else, and I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to, like, dick her over like that.
Could you get her phone? I mean, the fact that you have her address, do you have her address?
Yeah, unfortunately so.
Well, why don't you clean your... Yeah, why is that unfortunate? Clean yourself up and go over there. She'll be thrilled to see that.
I mean, that's the only thing I'm asking. It's like, you know, I wasn't trying to, like, hunt it down. She came to me.
Yeah, I understand.
After I got off of work.
Jose, here's what you need to do. I wonder if she lives at home, if she has a roommate or whatever.
I think you want her coming to you, right? You don't want to go to her.
Well, you do, then it's weird when you're sniffing her jacket and she shows up at the casino morgue. Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. If you go to her house to return it, that's great, except for when her roommate or boyfriend or stepdad just answers his door and says, hey, thanks a lot, buddy, and then slams the door in your face, and she's at junior college. I'll give it to her. What's your name again? Jose? Juicy? What is it? Well, anyway, thanks, buddy. That's the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, how about we try to get hold of her?
I don't know her number.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how we're going to do this.
I don't know. It's the Adam Carolla show.
Open it up. Let's find out what's her name and everything.
I know her name.
Well, can we call information, perhaps?
That's all.
You probably can, but I think she's too drunk to even recognize her own name.
She's not going to get up for another? You don't think she's going to get up for a few hours?
No. I mean, I cut her off at the bar when I got off. And I told the other bartenders not to serve her any more drinks.
Wow. Someone with a boozing problem. That's attractive. I would just go over there then. Do you recognize her address?
Yeah.
It seems like it's in town. It's somewhere you can get to?
There's some place I can get into.
All right. I would go over there, but I wouldn't go over there until about 10. You got to let her get up.
Right.
No, you know what? You know, I'm trying to think of a better way though, because she might not be home. She might be at work. Like, when do you show up if you really want to catch someone? 7 o'clock at night?
Right,
it's weird if you show up at 9 at night.
No, well, it's definitely weird if you show up at 6:20 in the a.m.
Well, see, what happened was is like when I first met her, I just got off of work, and she was talking to this like old guy.
You're right. Okay.
He saved her. Listen, by the way, he goes over there.
Right.
Brian, the phone screener, in the meantime, we see if he can dig up her phone number and get in touch with her. Otherwise, when he gets there, he should call us and we can work it out between these two
kids.
All
right, Jose.
What's up, bro?
Talk to Brian, the phone screener, for a moment.
Okay.
We'll see if we can help you out here.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This show does so much good.
You know, they could be getting married on this show next year.
Hmm. Except for we're not going to be here. It's going to be the Grease Man. My cousin Vinny. It's always funny when people tell stories and they go, because I always cut people off. So I just assume that there's nothing good that's coming out of them. That's like when a kid tells a joke. Five-year-old starts telling a joke. And then the postman said to the milk vial, yeah. Okay. Look, listen, kid. Let's nip this in the bud. I'm not going to be laughing. Look, I don't know that many funny adults. What are the chances you're funny at age five? So I usually jump in, but I find people do a lot of fighting for repetition. They'll go like this. And I met this chick, and she was really drunk, and there's a six-year-old guy, and he's at the bar, and now I have his jacket. And I'll go, yeah, all right. Well, hold on. Go ahead, finish. She was drunk, and there's this old dude. Yeah. We don't have to restart, do we? I think that's my punishment for cutting people off. They go, F you, Corolla. Now we're going right back to the start again.
Reset.
Yeah, it's like some race where you're carrying a boiled egg on a spoon or something and it drops. Oh, we're going right back to the start. Right back at the picnic.
You know, he did mention something that was really out of the ordinary. Hmm. In Vegas, a young girl hanging out with a 60-year-old.
Yeah, you don't see that. Now, that's you do weird. See a lot of women in their 60s hanging with young, attractive men, but you don't see that.
Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that this turns out that she's a prostitute.
Oh, it would be great. All right, we need to take a break. Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, is going to be on the blower along with Jeff Ross. Got a big night coming up May 10th at the Improv, HollywoodImprov.com. Come see us all. We'll be right back after this.
13-year-old Christian wanted to work on his stand-up skills. So Adam hooked him up with Jeffrey Ross, the king of the Catskills. Now he's busting his comedy hymen on stage May the 10th. He'll be working his teenage magic in front of an audience. Check out Christian, the comedian, May 10th at the Improv. The comedian, May 10th at the Improv.
Yes. All right. Rich Banks, thank you very much. Christian is on the phone. Jeff Ross is on the phone. Just want to go to one call before we talk to Christian and Jeff Ross, which is Dan. Dan?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Yes. Hey, listen, you guys, I think you guys have it all wrong with the advice that you're giving Jose.
Jose found the jacket. He works at a hotel casino in Las Vegas, found a jacket of a beautiful woman who got drunk and went home last night, and we're trying to figure out a way for him to get hold of her. And Dan, you
exactly.
say...
And I say... it sounds to me like these two...
Say you or me.
It could have been our love child.
Yeah, here we go. It seems to me that those two have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want it where Jose is running around trying to find her and, like you say, dropping off at the house and she's not there.
Mm.
So what he needs to do is take her jacket and all her items and put it behind the bar.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And tell who's ever working there that he has all her items. So when she wakes up from her drunken stupor, mm-hmm. all of a sudden she's going to realize, oh my God, and she's going to trust Jose. So she's going to go back to the bar where she passed out,
mm-hmm.
and from then, Jose will be able to get her back her.
Well, we sort of thought about that, but you think she might show up to the hotel and ask if there's a lost and found, and then it's kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure these casinos have policies. You leave something at the bar, the guy doesn't just stick it under the bar with the crevassier. He must give it to some concierge or something like that, and they put it in the lost and found up around the front desk. It's going to seem weird and possibly against policy. Someone could get into trouble if they just stuff the jacket behind the bar.
So then Jose is going to look like a little thief trying to steal all her items, what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying he may get in hot water with his own management. It didn't, forgive me if you're listening, Jose, but it didn't seem like you were running the joint. Didn't seem like it was Jose's casino was written out in neon on the sign. Seemed like perhaps you were, bar backing or something like that. Just didn't seem like you were managing the place. So the question is when the manager finds out that this guy's taken someone's jacket and just left it behind the bar instead of doing whatever official policy is for stuff left behind, because people get loaded at casinos. There must be 10 items left behind every single night in a casino. If you think about it, there's thousands of people going through there. They're getting loaded. There must be articles and things left behind every night, and they must have a very official policy with that. There must be
no
taking it to your car, no handing it off to whoever. You got to take it to whatever the lost and found is.
This is a touching.
That's great. That's great. But then what Jose should do is maybe slip a note inside the coat pocket.
Well, what I was just going to say was this is a touch and go situation. Right. What he should do is maybe he should cut big letters out of magazines and tell her he's holding her coat hostage. Hello?
Damashek, this is between Adam and I.
Adam and me, genius.
Wow. Why don't you go home and get your shine box, Damashek?
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
Thanks, Dan. Hey, Dan, do you do sports? I bet you could.
I could.
Well, listen, what I've learned after watching Damashek do sports is anyone could do sports. And I don't mean that with any disrespect.
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Well,
unfortunately, Dan's got to enroll in another semester's worth of community college English.
All right. So putting the note in the jacket is sort of Dan's new angle, but I don't know. That seems like almost... seems reactive, not proactive. You know, I mean, you could wait around for the phone to ring. I don't know if it would. Chick may be embarrassed. She may think, I mean, you know, women will do this thing where they're like, I made such an ass of myself. I got so drunk. I'm the guy may be cute. And I may want to call him, but I don't want to do it because I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he does.
We have a bit of a lead. Brian Bishop is trying to find her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We don't have her yet, but we're trying.
All right.
Can you send her a FedEx?
Yeah. Christian? Mm-hmm. What's happening, my brother?
Well, not much.
You're a 13-year-old comedian?
Yeah.
Getting ready for the May 10th gig?
Yeah.
Okay.
How are the nerves?
Well, they're a little jumpy, but I'm pretty excited.
You're excited.
Huh?
I was wondering, how long do you think the bit should be?
For May 10th?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably somewhere between 55 and 110 minutes. Somewhere in there. A good hour. Jeff, if a guy's going to be the middle man, he's going to do an act in the middle, it needs to be about 50 minutes, right?
At least 50 to 60 minutes.
50 to 60 minutes.
Yeah, I would end big.
Yeah, and big. And, you know, it's really one of these things, too, where there's going to be a full house, Christian, so you want to trim all the fat.
Okay.
Don't make the kid nervous.
Okay.
Don't make the kid
nervous. All right, really? How long? About 8-10 minutes? What do you guys think?
You know, I think that's something that Christian and I should be talking about. That's a good thing for us to be talking about this week. It's just sort of a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, you know, you want to leave them wanting more, especially mm-hmm. In a debut of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christian, my advice would be, you know, no more than 10 minutes. Don't forget you're a featured performer. People are going to be very excited to see you, but that wears out after a couple minutes. So I figure you got about 2 or 3 minutes of... you know, very just riding the energy, and then another 7-8 minutes, 10-11 minutes, I think you're home safe.
Jeff Ross, by the way, the king of the roast, is going to be acting as a tutor for young Christian, someone who's been doing stand-up for, well, at least 20 years now, right, Jeff?
It's been about 16 years, and I've never had a theme song quite that good that I got on this stupid show. Christian.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you, as far as doing your act, if you had a 10-minute act, would you start with the good stuff and end with the better stuff and have a little lull in the middle? Like, if you had an act and you thought, well, I have 3 or 4 great jokes, what order do you put them in?
I think you got to go with a real good one very early.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first thing when you walk out, like, say hi, greet the people. You're going to have a lot of fans. Friends, family there at the Improv, Christian. But
right.
I think you do one really good joke somewhere near the beginning just to sort of let people know that you're on top of your game. And then I think you got to really rely on closing big. Mm-hmm. They'll stay with you for the 10 minutes, but you want to leave people, you know, with a really good sort of flourish.
Christian, do you have a little homespun comedy for us this morning?
You know what? It's really... It's nothing special. This is actually a result of what happens when you focus too much on school and not the Adam Carolla show.
What is wrong with you?
Wow. You got to reprioritize.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's today's topic?
NASCAR sports announcers.
Okay. Well, let it fly, buddy.
All right.
Hey, you know, by the way, before you say this, it's not quantity, it's quality, Christian. One, if the, you know, there's one or two good comedy nuggets in here, you don't need a lot of material.
Right. And I'll tell you, and Jeff, I know being a Jew from New York, you love NASCAR, but try to keep the laughter down so we can hear Christian's act.
I mean, it's like that Jesus chunk he did last week. I can really relate.
You can really relate. All right, here we go, Christian.
All right. I was watching the dirt bike races with my dad the other day, and it's the first time I realized that dirt bikes have announcers, which I don't think is really necessary. Soccer needs announcers. 3 pass it to 15, and 15 kicks it to the front, 17 headbutts it in, and it's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt bikes are like number 2's in front, and now it's number 12.
Yeah.
No, number 12 is that. Falling's the best part in dirt bikes. Nothing exciting, but that's the best part. That's why I don't like NASCAR too much, because they got all the four wheels. Mm-hmm. ATVs require somewhat of a technique. In NASCAR, you look in the mirror and you turn. Mm-hmm. How do you narrate that? So these guys are driving fast in this big circle. Oh, left turn's coming up. That only happens 4 times in every lap in the next 116. NASCAR's really just a big commercial. This is what I want to hear. Coke is in the lead, followed by Walmart, and Supercuts is trying to cut in. Personally, my money's on Taco Bell, because they're one jalapeno away from turning into the next Roadrunner. That's what I got so far. Thanks.
For right. Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
Definitely give you an E for effort this week.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I thought there was some good stuff, especially that last little junk.
Really?
Chunk about, Coke's in the lead and all that stuff. Very clever.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to cut the master off, Jeff Ross, but I think that's your angle. The whole big long commercial that's just going in a circle for 3 hours at Talladega. That's funny, yeah.
That was good stuff, Christian. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. I was kind of worried about this one, but thank you again.
Yeah, now, what would you cut out of that act, Jeff?
You know, I think, in the beginning was a little sort of, maybe he always gets nervous in the beginning, so I think you got to find your footing. I like the stuff towards the end better. It's not about cutting it out. I think it's about the pearls rising to the top or some kind of analogy like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of early for that. But.
No, I understand.
Well, Jeff Ross, what of what you've heard off the top of your head, you say he has to open strong on May 10th. What do you think?
Well, whatever sort of prompted this whole, like, thing, you know, Christian, you got to look back to your appearances. I didn't hear your very first appearances, but apparently you said something that really got these guys hot on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to sort of dig deep. And if you want to try some jokes out, you can post them on my MySpace. So maybe people will go there and wish you luck this week.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
All right, Christian. So it's coming up on May 10th. Go to the improv.com. What is it? Is it Hollywood Improv?
Hollywoodimprov.com
if you want to find out
which
more
reminds me, Christian,
information.
Another piece of advice from me is you better hit these guys up for some free seats for your friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be chock full with a home crowd, right?
Make sure
crowd,
you got some kind of good deal here, Christian. You want your friends in the front, you know? You want to be able to order a couple of drinks at the bar, maybe some chicken wings. You know, this is like your debutante ball. This is your coming out party.
All right, yeah.
All right. All right, Christian. Nice work, as usual.
And then, of course, Jeff Ross, the headliner, along with Christian.
Well,
Ross
yeah.
is going to do a big set.
Yeah. Well, the master will show the student how it's done.
Yeah.
It's like Kung Fu.
That's right.
Then McQueen and Christian are going to wander the streets for the rest of our lives, looking for comedy stages. All I know is you better have me on when I really have something to plug.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Love you.
Love you. Jeff Ross. Ross, everybody. All right. Now, where are we? So, anyway, HollywoodImprov.com is where you go May 10th. We'll all be there. We'll see you there. We have a contest. Basically, the folks gave us a guitar. Gibson gave us a guitar. They gave us a Les Paul Menace guitar. It's bitching. It's $1,400 worth of guitar. Kid Rock is going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater at Universal coming up
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It's going to be there tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, there it is. Tomorrow. At the Gibson Amphitheater at the Universal Amphitheater. Kid Rock, we got 5 pair of tickets to give away to go see Kid Rock. But here's the thing. We have this $1,400 Les Paul guitar, which Dave calls an axe.
That's right.
I just know it as a guitar. It is a bitchin' instrument. And we'd like to give it away, but we'd like to give it away to someone who's not going to just sell it on eBay. I want to give it away to someone who can play. So we're going to have a battle of the bands in here. You call us up. If you can play the guitar and you can play it well, call us up. We'll listen to you. We'll listen to your licks. And if you're good, we'll narrow it down to the final three and we'll have you in here.
I think this is going to be an awesome idea.
And then it's going to rock off. But here's the thing. You can't come in here and play the song you want to play. You have to play this song. There's a nice recording Big Dad got for us. Yeah? All right. You know, I always complain that Big Dad isn't working, but then when you get him to work...
I know it might be the CD player. Let me...
All right, we'll try it again. Yeah, a little Hocus Pocus by Focus. I don't know why that was the first song that popped into my head.
By the way, we also have some tickets to give away. So just for trying, you can go to the Kid Rock concert. We have five
pages.
But in the
short term, I said that.
In order to get to the finals, though, right, to play the Hocus Pocus song, people now call in and play whatever they want.
Yeah, right? Play your lick. Do your best. Impress us with your best rock guitar lick. Just put the phone down next to the amp and go to town. I've done it before on the radio. It works fine. When you come in, you're going to have to play Hocus Pocus by Focus, though. All right, we got to figure this out. Sounds like hell.
Sort of like American Idol.
I think it's a CD player.
Okay.
It's like Idol. You get to sing what you want to get, you know, past the first round. But then when you come in, you have to sing some crummy songs assigned to you.
I don't want someone in here playing Smoke on the Water or any. That's the measure of a true artist, by the way. It's not the one you've been playing for the last 12 years on your own guitar from the comfort of your own futon. You must learn Hocus Pocus by Focus and play that in here. Now, I know a lot of your big Focus fans, ironically, our Focus groups told us that. Yeah. That's what I would call my fans if I was in the band Focus. Focus groups. Yeah. I think they're out of, like, Norway, and they had a hit in 1977 or something. Maybe it was 74. We'll figure out. Anyway, we got five tickets to give away to see Kid Rock tomorrow night at the amphitheater of Universal fame, that is. And... ooh. I got this song for you to learn. You call in. Les Paul guitar. $1,400. Where is that guitar, Brasca?
We'll hopefully get it in today.
Oh, okay. All right. Hopefully. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just going to rock out for a second here. So this is the lick you got to play. There's no singing in this song, just yodeling. You don't believe me? It's coming. He will be yodeling in a moment. Ah, I want to hear this. Let's go, Bill. This is nothing but a stone-free jam. I'll be on the skins here.
Go, Ace Man, go.
You didn't believe me, did you?
Wonderful.
I wonder if in the jacket liner it says lead yodels on this one. Yes, we're giving away a Les Paul guitar. Oh, now it's on. You don't do better than this. You just do different.
So people have to call up.
That's
play
right.
Whatever guitar lick they wish to play to get past the first round. Then they'll come into the studio and play for the $1,400 Les Paul axe.
That's right. It's a Gibson Les Paul. Uh-oh. I'm on the skins again here. Now I'm yodeling. You know how hard it is to play the drums and yodel?
Bravura from Mike Lynch says, I can figure this song out in an hour. this link, he says.
Really?
This link isn't that bad, I gotta be honest
but
with
can you.
But
can you yodel?
Well, first off...
This is me yodeling right now.
I have sized up the fans of the show. I'm not looking for difficulty. I don't want them coming in here and watching smoke come out of there. So what about this part?
This part's a little much, but the lick itself, the riff is...
Well, then it's whoever does it the best. I don't want it hard to figure out. I want them to jam on it. All right. Dana says her son can play the guitar. What a mom. My mom would never call in a morning radio show. My son plays the guitar. Ooh. Now it shifts gears. This is back when songs would be like 3 or 4 songs. All right. Jim Gaffigan is on the phone. We'll talk to him in a second. Is he? Oh, no, he's not.
Not yet.
All right, we're supposed to talk to him in a second. Well, then turn it back up.
He's getting his guitar out of the case.
We have 5 pair of tickets to give away the Kid Rock show tomorrow at the Gibson Amphitheater at Universal, but we have one $1,400 Les Paul, Gibson Les Paul.
Well, I'll tell you this much while we wait for Gaffigan. Let me say this. I was hoping to see a more dramatic sort of thing out of you because yesterday, Adam Carolla, man's man, announced that he was going to get fake tanned.
All right.
Because he's going to be doing like a nude scene on the Kimmel show tomorrow night. Jimmy Kimmel, you're doing a whole bit for them in the nude. So you tanned up. Vanity dictated that you look good. But you're not as tan as I would have expected.
I know. You know why? Because you get into this sitcom mindset with everything. Well, hold on a second. Now, it's a stone jam here. Oh, these guys were on top of the world in 1974. Smoking reefer. Wearing those, probably, there's one dude in the band that had to wear those high leather suede boots with the fringe on them, like moccasins.
You know, they also used to be a thing of the rock and roll bands of the 70s. One member of the band, usually the bass player, had to wear a team jersey from the city that they're playing in.
Be nice, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're in St. Louis. They wear a St. Louis Blues hockey sweater.
Wait, now he's blowing the flute.
A lot of range.
There it is. We're going to find out what year this song's from. Yeah, it's Tull-esque, everybody. I'm on the skins again. Oh, now I'm on the guitar. That's what I like. When I play my air band, I switch around. Keyboards, trumpet, French horn, balalaika. I play them all in my air band. All right, let's see. We're getting some calls. Her husband can play the guitar. We get great calls like this. Can play the song, no guitar with him. That's going to be exciting radio.
Have an air guitar over the phone.
All right, no, big end. Okay, we'll talk to him. Wow, I didn't know this song was 9 minutes long.
And whoever wants that guitar has to play all of it.
That's right. No singing, just yodeling, cartoon sounds, whistling, and a little piccolo. Sergio?
Adam!
Can you play this song on a guitar?
Yes, I can. I can make it sound like Tool played it, man. I can get all kinds of effects. I can make this thing sound dope.
Where are you now that you're without your guitar?
I'm in Inglewood. I saw windows and doors. I'm over here in my parking lot. I'm late for work. I'm trying to get a hold of you guys.
Have your old lady run the guitar over to work. That's all.
Give me a day so I can record it. Get this thing done for you.
You need to play it live over the telephone. And if you're good enough, we'll bring you in, and then you'll compete playing the Hocus Pocus by Focus song, and the winner walks away with the Les Paul guitar. Now, wait a minute. I'm in a free jam spiral here.
Rock it.
It's starting to grow on you a little, isn't it, Mike?
I liked it from the word go.
Oh, yeah. We'll find out what happened to Focus. All right, Sergio, you got to get a guitar.
Dude, guess what? Check it out. I'll play it in the Hocus Pocus by Focus in my Focus. I drive a Focus. I'll get it done, dude. I'll get it done, man. I'll give you guys a call back. I'll be back.
Oh, well, how about doing a little?
Trying to build a Les Paul guitar out of because I'm too cheap to afford one. Out of 2 pieces of alder that I glued together. So I really, I love Les Paul. I want one. So
he's a woodworking man. I like that.
Oh yeah, dude. I saw construction workers all the time. You were in that business. I want that Les Paul. So
all right. Well, Sergio, first off, a great musician never travels without his tools. You know what I mean?
I mean, the truck. I have.
You
no
should
amp.
Be carrying that axe and amp with you everywhere you go. I don't care if you head out in the morning to grab the paper at the end of the driveway. You should drag along a full stack of amps, a roadie, a guitar tech, and an axe and a backup axe.
I have a guitar in my trunk. No amp.
Play a little air guitar for us then, Sergio. You want to do Hocus Pocus by Focus in the air guitar form?
Yeah, let me get my guitar out. It's in the trunk.
All right, hang on. We got to take a break. Let's see, her husband can play, but he's not awake. Her son can play, but he's not home yet. A lot of great housewives and mothers here. Jillian?
Yes?
Your husband's a rock guitarist?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any guitarists that get up before 10.
It's a good point. Very good point.
But I could have him. I mean, I've been trying to call him because he's really, really good. He could play that. You know, who said it'd take him an hour to
pick
it
up? This is your husband?
Yeah.
How big is your house that you have to actually pick up the phone and call him and wake him up?
Well, I'm driving to work.
Well, you're driving to work. I thought you just lived in a huge house.
That'd be pretty awesome, though.
It would be. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get my wife on the blower. Where's she at work?
No, her husband's there in spelling.
House. Yeah. All right. Hey, Jillian. Yeah, get him on the phone. And we also have young Dana. Dana, your son can swing an axe?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Now, where is he right now? Juvie?
Well, no.
I like Juvie.
He's actually at school. He writes on the school paper, so he's there a little early. So I'm kind of high and dry, but I just wanted to pump him up so his friends can hear me talking about him. He's awesome. We've got four boys. He's the oldest.
All right, but he'll not be able to play on our show.
No, unless you can do it tomorrow. But I guess that's too late.
Let him try anyway, but we're going for today. But just to give him a plug, what's his name? All right.
Listen, you want to be a cool mom, you go take him out of school. He's got a higher purpose.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm telling you, Mrs. Van Halen would have done it many years ago. Yes? We're going to take ourselves a break. Again, if you can play the guitar or you can sing... like Wile E. Coyote. Now, if you can play the guitar, call us up. You play a lick. It doesn't have to be this one. You just have to prove you can swing an axe. We'll bring you in. You play Hocus Pocus by Focus. Whoever does the best job in studio is going to get a Les Paul guitar, yes.
And that's dynamite. And also the apple of Adam Carolla's eye is in the house.
You're not talking about Adrienne Barbeau, are you?
I'm talking about Barbeau. Your most beloved woman on the face of the earth.
Loved her since I saw her in Maude many years ago.
Are you
all
right for the interview?
I blew off a little steam, if you know what I mean, in the shower this morning and then once again in the parking lot.
It's a good thing you got that tan, too.
Yeah,
I'm
looking good.
Oh,
yeah, forgot about that. All right, we need to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, it's growing on you, isn't it? You could do worse than Focus, everybody. All right. Plus, could be the name of, could be a funny Who's On First kind of bit. Who sings that song? Focus. All right, you have my attention. Now, who sings it? Focus. Yes, I'm thinking clearly. Now, please tell me the name of the band that sings that song. Focus. Well, what do you want me to do? Get out binoculars? Tell me the goddamn name of the band. I'm telling you, Focus. Then the next song you have is from The Who. You heard me! Let's do a whole Who's On First with the Who and Focus and Yes. Use the band Yes, too. Yes, tell me the name of the band. Yes. Oh, please tell me. Focus. I'm Focus, now tell me. Who? Yeah, and then the all right.
Let's have Ozzy and the Def Rat Guy do that for us.
The band is from...
I see a comeback album.
The band is from Holland, by the way. Mm. And I say, top 10 one-hit rock wonders of the 70s from Holland. Pocus. That's what I said.
Brusco, go get the, see if you get the lead guitarist from Hocus Pocus on the phone.
Find out what year, Brusco, will you please find, will you please have Big Tad find out what year the song is from?
Hey, he's working on it.
Okay. Band started in 1970. All I want to know is the year of this song. I got the band started in 70 and broke up in 78. Is it weird when people work around what you want to know? Like where you go, how do you get to Knott's Berry Farm? And I go, I'll tell you how to get to Disneyland in Magic Mountain. Fantastic. I'm going to Knott's Berry Farm. You go down
when
to
you
five.
Get there, they have a great ride.
Yeah.
1976.
1976 is when the song came out. So, anyway, you you play this lick. No, you play any lick you want. Then you come in and play this lick, and you may walk away with the $1,400 Les Paul guitar. Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Mark?
Oh, yeah.
You sound dynamic. Can you play the guitar?
Yeah, I can.
All right. What lick are you going to play for us, or perhaps we should guess?
You can guess.
Thanks, buddy. Come on.
I want to play a lick from Lamb of God. It's called...
From what?
Lamb of God.
Is that a song we know? Is that a band we know?
It's a band. I want to play a song called Laid to Rest.
Hold on a second.
Laid to Rest from I'm a God? Is it satanic music?
Do we have to get a song in a band that we've never heard of before? Because that's really satisfying to hear a lick that you've never heard before in your life. But hang on a second. Sergio got his guitar. Sergio?
Yeah.
What lick do you want to play for us?
I'll tell you something I made up that sounds pretty cool. Well, I can play a song by Focus.
You really can?
Yeah, I heard it just right now. I'll play a little bit of it.
All right. All right. Go ahead.
Wait. Do you want him to play the Focus? You want him to play Focus?
Give us your best lick.
Well, it's nothing hard and crunchy, but it's pretty. It sounds cool. Here it is.
Sounds like he knows how to play. Is that a cell?
I'm not playing plugged in. He an Epiphone Les Paul right now, not a real Gibson.
All right, well, can you play a lick? Hold on a second.
Sergio played that on Iraqi Idol, by the way.
Here's my point. You know, when I said call in and play us your favorite lick, I never dreamt it would be licks we've never heard of. I assumed they would just play stuff we heard from Zeppelin or, you know, Blue Oyster Cult or something. I didn't know guys were going to be taking obscure stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and modify this and say, make it a lick we could all identify with.
I bet Sergio give him another chance. Play him something easy.
Sergio.
Here it is.
Play some lick.
Here's a Focus one.
Do you have a landline?
Well, it'll take another 2 hours.
All right, Sergio, I'm putting you on hold. We're gonna see. We're gonna see if we have anyone who's any better. Tyler, yes, Big Tad.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm sorry. It's 1971, not 1976.
Let's just go over this process one more time, Big Tad.
We were looking on the computer, and there was different albums that had it on different times. But
it's funny because 76 did seem a little late. Yeah. All right. So first, I said, what year was that song done? And you gave me the year the band broke up. And then I said, what year was that song done? And I got the year the band formed. And then I said, what year was that song done? And I got the wrong year. But the fourth time's the charm.
Fourth time's the charm.
1971. All right. Mark.
Yeah?
Can you play a guitar lick that we've heard of?
A Metallica lick?
Fine.
Yeah, I can.
Hard to tell if people are good over the phone or not. All right, Mark. Any other licks? Do you have a very popular lick that we could hear? You know, that Smoke on the Water, Stairway to Heaven thing?
Yeah, could we request something?
Yeah, I can play Smoke on the Water.
Please play the world's most popular lick on that guitar.
All right.
Ah, comfort licks. Mike's making a face. All right, hold on a second, Mark. got to tune up. Everybody tune up. Let's talk to Jim Gaffigan, the stand-up comedy.
I don't have a lick or anything.
Sorry.
No lick.
Well, you don't need a lick when you've been voted number 61 on the 100 Most Unsexiest Men in America list.
Were you on that list?
No, but I got to believe I was 101.
Yeah, well, you know, I tell you, you know, it's something that I worked hard for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people think that we're, you know, consumed with beauty in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a little easier for the beautiful people. I mean, think about it. If a stranger smiles at you and they're attractive, you think, oh, they're nice. But if the stranger's ugly, aren't you kind of like, what the hell do they want?
Yeah, I know. It is true when ugly people want stuff from you or even establish eye contact. You're like, I was sitting across some sicko on the bus.
Yeah, you're like, what are you, in a cult? Get out of here.
I love it when the hard-hitting news programs do a little expose every couple of years where they get the super hot busty chick in the mini skirt. Her car broke down by the side of the road. Now we get the fat pig who's covered in festering boils. Her car breaks down. Does she get any help? We'll tell you when we come back from the commercial. Wow. I'm going to have to stay for it. I'm not moving an inch. I got to find out.
Well, I also love how, like, we, all the newscasters, like, you watch MSNBC, and it's kind of like all these really hot chicks that are the newscasters. Like, we don't even want bad news from someone unattractive. You're like, there's a hurricane. I want to look at some woman that looks great with a fancy hairdo.
Yeah, well, I think the way humans are, I know this is the way I am. If I hear bad news from someone unattractive, I blame them.
Yeah.
You know, if Al-Qaeda lit off a car bomb at some popular tourist destination in Europe, I will blame it on the person that tells me if they're under a five.
Yeah.
I think it's human nature, Jim.
Well, I'm glad. I appreciate you calling me in. I'm calling in because I'm a friend of yours, Adam, and not because I wanted to plug my Comedy Central special on Sunday.
Well, that's the thing. We go way back. Jim and I do. And that's why it's a pleasure to give him plugs. But it's not about the Comedy Central show that's Sunday at 10 p.m.
Yeah, and it's not about me being at the Celebrity Theater on Saturday in Phoenix. It's about you and I being buddies.
Right.
And, you know, barbecuing together.
That's right. And I'll tell you, one date we can't actually barbecue is the 29th. Because that's when he's going to be at the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix.
And actually, you know what? I can't do tomorrow night because I'm on Conan. Doing another Pale Force. I don't know if you've ever seen Pale Force.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Well, what do you mean? You've done it in your bathrobe.
Yes.
Mornings when I sleep over the night before.
Yeah. Well, you know, your back rubs are great.
Thanks,
you know what I mean?
Jimmy.
Which kind of reminds me that my CD is available in stores. But I guess I just miss the quiet time when we read the newspaper in the morning.
Yeah, I know. And I'll tell you, one morning we'll not be reading it together. It'll be April 30th. At the Canyon Club in Agora Hills, because you're going to be preparing for that evening at 9 o'clock. Yeah,
I'm going to be preparing. I'm going to do my yoga and writing in my flowery journal
while sipping Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I always try and hit my journal every morning. Do you have a journal?
I do. I sit down. No, you know what? You know, people do that journal thing, and I don't think you ever go back and read it. Do you ever go back and read it? Like, women keep the journal, but they never go back and read it.
Well, it just seems like it always gets you in trouble.
Yeah, somebody finds it, right.
Like, I had sex with four random guys. I hope my husband doesn't read this.
Yeah, there are women who keep a list of all the guys they've been with. There are women that, you know, every you know, being passed around like a doobie at a Fog Hat concert backstage. It was some hair band in the 80s. Performing oral on the drummer and the bass player at the same time, and they put it all in their journal, and then their Christian husband finds it 8 years later and projectile vomits all over it.
At least that's how my fantasies exist.
I've always contended that people should have two journals. There's the one you keep for the stepdad to find, the one you keep for the wife or the husband to find, and then the one with the debauchery in it.
Well, yeah, instead of doing the journal, I always do my blog on my MySpace, which is an effective way of wasting time.
Mm. So, how do you, I don't even know anything about computers. What do? Do you punch your name in? Is that how we find what you're thinking on MySpace?
Well, yeah, no, you've got to use computers, though.
No.
You do, don't you? You don't use it at all?
No. Well, the thing that's weird about me is I do...
I'm a boxing instructor. I don't know how to use computers. You don't use computers? That's amazing.
I use them, but not for things that you would use a computer for. I use it to, like, chalk my car tire so that the car doesn't roll backwards. I have a steep driveway. I use it to hold down papers and things like that, but I don't actually use it. I don't know how to use it.
You read it, and Adam reads at a second grade level, too.
Yes.
It is amazing how the Internet's changed our lives, really. You know, I mean, you ever get a handwritten letter in the mail today? You're like, what the hell? Has someone been kidnapped?
Yeah. Well, or it's one of those weird computer handwritten letters. But, yes, you don't get that anymore. You don't... You don't even really buy anymore. I mean, all the big ticket items you go on the computer first.
You don't need to know how to spell. Spell check saves me constantly. I get such an attitude with spell check, though. I'll be like, no, that's a person's name, spell check.
Yeah.
You are so dumb.
Well, how about this? You punch in your name. My name's Carolla, and it says, did you mean C-O-R? O-L-L-A? No! I did not mean the way it's not spelled. I meant it the way I spell it, which is my family name. Did you mean telling a Corolla how to spell Corolla? How dare they?
How dare they is right.
So what? I screwed up and put three L's in there. It's none of their business. All right, Jim Gaffigan, everybody. Beyond the Pale. Comedy Central, Sunday night.
Right after
10 p.m.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be watching, Jim.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. All right, now, who can play this lick? What are we doing here? Got to get a finalist ready to go.
I think so far, actually, these people have represented themselves not in a horrible way so far. We have a couple decent candidates.
Next. Cindy?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you find your husband?
He's right here. I'll put him on.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
What's your name?
My name's Daryl.
Daryl. Do you play the guitar, Daryl?
A little bit. Got a dog that helps me play.
All right. Do you have a popular guitar lick you could play for us?
Actually, I'm just kind of like a blues riff. I play blues, R&B, and stuff. And
why isn't it ever satisfying? You know, people, my wife always says to me, why don't you talk to my friends? You know why? This is why. It's never satisfying. Hey, here's all I want. I really feel like I go through life asking for things that are threes and fours. And what I get back is no can do. You play the guitar? Yeah. Could you play a popular riff that we've all known? Mainly I play a fusion guitar. It's sort of an Al Di Meola meets flamenco. Let's play something we know. Please, everybody.
See if you know this one.
All right.
Okay. Well, here's my wife. She's going to hold the phone to the amp.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Did you hear that?
It sounds like he can play, but what song was that?
I'm not sure what song that was.
All right, you live with the man, and
yes,
you have
I
no
do,
idea
but
what
I
song.
I don't know what song that was. You wanted to play something popular, like what, Van Halen or something?
Something.
Okay. Right,
hold on a second. Hold on. And by the way, don't lead off with, you want something popular? See if you know this one. And then play nothing. See if you know this one means you're going to hear one you know, doesn't it?
Hello? Okay.
All right.
Does there it, you, can, go. There he, you go. Something different?
He's just playing the blues. He's playing
the
blues.
But he can also play licks like Van Halen and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, that's a novel idea.
That's
a great idea. Hold on a second. So he can play popular licks. Brusca, write this down, would you? I'm taking a whole new slant on this. I'm going a totally different direction. I'm going to pull a 180, if you don't mind. Just pull an e-brake, whip this car right around. Let's have them play popular licks that we recognize, and that way we could judge how good their guitar playing is. Let's try that. If it doesn't work, we'll abandon it and go back to the old way of playing obscure licks and arguing with people to play licks we've goddamn heard before. But for now, let's just turn around. Cindy?
Yeah.
Good idea. Let's go ahead and play a popular lick.
A popular lick.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right, here's the whole thing. Sounds like a popular generic lick. Sounds like a little Stevie Ray Vaughan.
All right.
Listen, I'm angry at Cindy and her husband.
You're at the harsh critic, though. I hear what you're saying, but now he produced. He did Stevie Ray Vaughan. I, for one, say he's in.
All right. That was, I think, Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan. But even... Ooh, nice. Even that, I would argue, is not in the top 1,200 most popular guitar licks.
I have a suggestion.
Ever. Hmm.
Everybody knows this song. Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. The beginning?
No, but you're asking retarded people to pass the LSATs.
How about any popular song? Just play the lick, and we got to give these tickets out, and we got to move on.
All right.
And the guitar. Obviously.
All right, let me see. Mary's back on the Mary?
Hello?
Okay, Mary. Boy, your voice has changed. Who am I talking to, Tom?
It's Tom.
Oh, hold on a second, Tom. What the hell did I hit there? Mary?
Yeah. Hello?
Mary, you have your husband?
Yes, he's playing.
All right. Now listen, he has to play a lick on a guitar that I immediately recognize. I will hang up on his ass.
Okay.
So this is what you do in life. You take your vitriol and vengeance out on the next person you speak to.
You're worse than Simon Cowell.
Up on, Tom.
It's poor women.
All right. Do you want to hear the lead licks, or do you want to hear the rhythm of the song?
Whatever is the most recognizable. Hold on one second. Let me say this, too. Oh, I go through life this way, wondering, am I speaking Japanese? You know, people never understand what I want out of them. And then I realize, well, I must not be making myself clear. But then if you go back and look at the tape, listen to the tape or read the transcript, could I be putting a finer point on what I want? And then I realize, I think people tune me out. I realize that. My wife tunes me out. Everyone around me tunes me out. My listeners tune me out. Nobody really listens when I open my mouth. They think it's just a bunch of hot air blowing their direction, and they're going to close their ears off. All right, play a very popular guitar lick, please.
Adam, you're starting to sound too much like me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here goes. This should be very popular.
All right.
You recognize that?
Mm-mm.
All right, how about this?
Hey, lady, jump in the back of my car. Yeah, is that Ted Nugent? Yeah. I know this lick, but it's only because I'm 41 and listen to a lot of crappy 70s classic rock.
Recognize that?
Yeah, hey lady, jump in the back of my car, right?
Right.
Yeah, who sings that song?
That's Ted Nugent. I don't know. I think Derek St. Holmes sings it.
Yeah, but that's Ted Nugent.
Right.
Isn't there anyone who can play some Built to Spill out there?
I'm the only goddamn person on this floor that knows that riff. You're lucky.
I say we don't get the guitar.
He can play guitar.
Hey, we get requests for that all the time.
All right, hold on a second. What is going on in my life? Hi, we got news. We got sports. Beautiful Adrian Barbeau.
Let's go to break and we'll figure
out. We're going to reset here, but I think we're getting there. And these guys can play the guitar. They just can't listen. Maybe their ears have been
damaged. But we don't
have
the new generation. Good music, you know, of the 21st century. As I say, let's get some Built to Spill. That'd be good.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Welcome back to Ozfest on the Adam Carolla Show.
We got all the greatest hits of Ozzy Osbourne sung by Nicaraguan movie reviewer Oswaldo Castillo. Now, here's Iron Man.
I am Iron Man.
This is a riff, you idiots.
Has he lost his mind?
Hey, this is a front man.
And he seems blind. Can and war and go. All his move, he is foul. Nobody want him. Who's starting in the war? Planning his revenge.
Doesn't do Ozzy justice just to hear the audio. You have to see him on stage. You have to see the way he moves, the way he commands the crowd. Spitting water at the crowd, pyrotechnics. Ozzy quickly trying to barbecue some flank steak over a smoke pot. That's what he does. When he sees the sparks start flying out, he runs for the beef. All right. Oh, I'm tired from yelling at everybody. Hold on with all your guitar licks. We got to do the news. We have Adrian Barbeau. Beautiful Adrian Barbeau, my girlfriend, Adrian Barbeau.
Your
by
most
the way,
beloved woman ever, right? On the big screen.
I fell in love with her very early on in my career, and she's bosomy.
And now that you got the juice, you know, you got your own radio show, you can summon.
I think I could have her.
You can say, Barbeau, I wish to see Barbeau, and Barbeau appears.
That's right. Or I wish I could get Gaffigan on the phone, and lo and behold, there he is.
I could get a recognizable guitar riff.
No, too tall in order. All right, now we will bring Adrian in a moment. It's time for Claudia DeFalco with the news.
Okay, the Smoking Gun website, where you can read the 17-page petition Denise Richards filed to obtain a restraining order against Charlie Sheen, has more disturbing details. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why we're reporting on this, right, of course. Apparently, Denise alleges that Charlie may have had something to do with the death of a porn star / prostitute. Her name is Chloe Jones. Have you guys heard of her?
I dated her for a while in the mid-'80s, yes. Yeah.
She had told a magazine that Sheen paid her $15,000 for a hookup. The following June, Chloe was found dead in her bed, ruled as an accidental overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, when Denise asked her husband if he had anything to do with it, point blank, he said, no comment. She asked again, and what did he say? No comment.
Well, he's obviously screwing around. I mean, he's trying to seem like he's a player, that's
all. What could he have done to her that she would try to pin a murder on him?
No comment, Dave. Yeah, look, hey, we do this stuff all the time. We take this stuff way out of context. I mean, imagine just reading the transcript of answers you've given on this show or given to your wife. You'd be locked up. All right, no comment.
American Idol host Ryan Seacrest says he and Judge Paul Abdul are not speaking to one another. Abdul says the reports of a feud are, quote, ridiculous. Seacrest also told People magazine that his relationship with Abdul is, quote, awkward. Mm. In a statement, Abdul claims that they are one funny, dysfunctional family, and there is nothing but love.
She seems like she's back on the prescription meds, by the way. Her dreidel spun out last night.
I saw about 4 minutes of the show last night. The crying
and standing up. Yeah,
we've
she's
all
back
seen
her old
go
ways.
Up and down with her emotions. Well, like you guys said, last night it was an estrogen overload. Mm. Here she is commenting on a performance.
You move me. You celebrate what this competition is all about. And, you know, I spent the day yesterday watching the tapes when everyone first started, and you've moved me from the beginning.
Let me tell you the sad part.
This handsome, evolved performer.
I got to tell you the pathetic part.
You are an American.
She was talking to a coat rack. She was actually speaking to a coat rack. Just had an overcoat and a hat sitting on top of it. She was that high. Sad. It was sad. And who knows what that coat rack was doing on stage, but it was very uncomfortable.
Can I take this opportunity, Adam?
I miss that humor where people who had bad eyesight or who were too drunk would speak, how do you do, sir? Nice to meet you. May I have this dance?
Adam, I need a moment.
Sorry, Claudia. Yeah, she seems like she's back on the Viking.
Can I take this opportunity to also mention that you move us?
Thank you.
Every.
By the way, she was speaking to Elliot, who she'd never formally spoken to before. She didn't seem like a huge Elliot fan. She was a big Ace fan, and she liked Chris Daughtry and all that. But she didn't seem like she had many words for Elliot in the past. Now,
hey, do you know who guys are loving on American Idol this morning? Did you guys watch Cat McPhee's performance?
Yes.
Girl in the yellow dress.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wardrobe malfunction.
Really?
I watched it.
Did you not see it?
Was there a booby?
No. A little south. A little more south.
A little bun action? Crotch action?
Yeah.
Really? See through.
I think, no. She her dress had a split. She looked beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful dress.
Yeah.
And in the moment of her performance, very passionate, she was climaxing. Mm. And the dress split open.
It split. And
vagina.
What did we see? Some front side? What was she wearing? Was she wearing panties?
I think she was. It just happened really fast. I should have TiVo'd it, huh?
I still got it. All right, I'm going to go
we'll
home and watch that right now.
Check it out.
Thank you.
I'm Clyde DeFalco, and I'm done.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
I will keep my comments brief so we can get your beloved Barbeau in here as quickly as possible.
Thank you.
Now, NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs going on, but it's the NFL getting all the headlines today. John Madden's muse, Brett Favre, has made his announcement about whether or not he's coming back to the Packers, and he says he is. And Madden is on cloud nine. Here's his reaction.
You move me. You celebrate what this competition is all about. And, you know, I spent the day yesterday watching the tapes of when everyone first started. And you moved
right,
me
so
from
he
the
loves
beginning.
Him.
But you
yeah.
are this...
As long as she's reviewing the tapes, go ahead and note the part where you look insane on the tapes and then reel it in a little bit. As long as you're watching the tapes.
Don't fast forward through
you being insane.
Yeah. Now, the bad news in the NFL, Ricky Williams, the running back for the Miami Dolphins, of course, likes the weed and so on and so forth, you know, the dreadlocks. He is banned from the NFL for a full year now because he tested positive for a drug. If you'll recall, wasn't the weed, though.
It wasn't.
No, yeah, it wasn't the weed. It's undetermined, at least. They're not saying what the drug is. But I say this. This sets up a dynamite pay-per-view competition between Ricky Williams, while high on the weed, versus John Madden, eating competition.
Mm.
Celebrity eating.
It's
we
great.
Don't have, you know, this eating thing is caught on like gangbusters. You know, people love to sit and watch, you know, these people do this. How about we involve Madden and a high Ricky Williams with the munchies? Now, Kings of Schwarzenegger. Lost a tough one last night to the defending champs, the Spurs. Late three by San Antone, bounded all about the rim and finally went through. It sent the game to overtime. Kings now 0-2 in that series. It doesn't look good for them. Also, Jersey beat Indy. Wiz beat LeBron in Cleveland. Both those series now 1-1. Kobe and his pals get back to it in Phoenix tonight. 7:30 down in Phoenix. Suns up 1-0 in the series. Kobe, by the way, says after this season he's switching his number.
Really?
From number 8 to number 24. Ace, what number would you wear if you were a ball player?
Well, first off, I heard he was just switching his number by turning it over. He's just going to take the
upside
8
down.
Go ahead and turn it upside down.
I see.
Freak everyone out. Maybe he's already done it. Who knows?
Playing head games with us, dude.
I go 69. Yeah, high five.
You bring up an interesting thing. 69. If you're a guy, this is a message out there for you, for all the people out there. If you think it's funny to wear number 69, you're unfortunately wrong.
Huh?
100% of the women that you think you're wowing by wearing number 69,
makes them hot.
You're not.
You know what
cut
I
it
do?
Out.
It's like when you do that V thing with your fingers and then stick your tongue through it. It makes a chick just as hot as when you do that. Maybe hotter.
All right, let's get the Barbeau, but
Claudia,
very quickly.
Oh! 69, read and weep, baby. It's going to be us soon.
All right, we'll get to the baseball and everything. Let me just say, of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm cutting the crossfire, and it sickens me.
Oh, you love it, baby. Read the numerals on the chest. That's what I'm all about. Want my phone number? 69. My address? 69. Hey, ask me what year I was born. 64. I got to be honest. You love it, baby.
Oh, she's taking her shirt off.
All right, let's wrap it up. Adrian Barbeau's coming in here.
Damashek's number one sports.
Why do I give Adrian Barbeau the...
Better go get on your number 69 jersey.
She just left the building, guys.
Done and done. We will take a break. The beautiful Adrian Barbeau is in here next.
As you probably know, we're the favorites to win the Cannonball tomorrow, and I was wondering if one of you or both of you might like to ride in the winning vehicle.
Oh, that would be very exciting.
Exciting.
But we're Cannonballers ourselves, thank you.
They're Cannonballers?
And as for the winning vehicle, well, we'll just have to wait and see. You haven't seen our equipment.
Equipment?
Oh, great. Speaking of equipment, just reminded me of a story. It's been great to do movies back in the day. Get Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., get them liquored up, just start rolling. We don't have a script.
Roger Moore.
Adrian Barbeau is in studio. I just had a flashback. Adrian is one of my favorites of all time. My mom used to watch Maude when I was a youngin', and every time you came on the screen in those tight sweaters, I would go out of my mind. I just remember thinking, wow, maybe you're the reason I'm a boob man.
You may... That's a lot to live up to, I tell you.
I'll tell you, it's just the beautiful Italian looks, nice solid natural D cup, petite. It was that tight sweater. Every time, you were Carol, right?
I was Carol.
Yeah.
Maude's daughter.
Come down those tight sweaters. And I remember, this is when I was walking to junior high, I think the seventh grade, when I was walking over to Walter Reed Junior High one morning, I looked down and I found a newspaper. It was one of those, like, sort of nudie newspapers they used to have, like the Star, the Hollywood Star, whatever. Somehow inside it was a picture of you topless, black and white.
Black and white.
hard to make out, yet I cut it out. And I put it really between, like, a book. I didn't own a book, as you can tell. But I found a book, and I smashed in between, and I would stare at it periodically. And by periodically, I mean four times a day for 9 years. What was that from? And now it said it underneath there was from a Broadway play.
It was
play.
From an off-Broadway play that I did called Stag Movie. Mm. It was in the early 70s, in mm-hmm. the days of the nudie, you know, O Calcutta.
Sure.
And hair. And I had been doing Fiddler in New York and needed to open in a new show. I needed to be seen. So that was the one they offered me.
I remember my 12 or 13 year old mind reeling when I saw this. And there was in the picture,
they were rehearsal shots.
Was a guy next to her. There was a guy next to her in the picture was staring at your beautiful jugs. And I was like, who is this guy? What? How do you get this job? What goes on over here? I couldn't figure any of it out.
Adrian,
I was titillated.
What do you think about it? Never a more apt word either, is there?
No, there's not.
Adrian, what does it make you think to know that Adam abused himself so many times to you?
Was it abuse?
However you wish to call it. He gave himself pleasure.
You know, I don't connect with it.
You're a mother, you're a married woman.
That's right. You had twins, right?
I had twins at age 51.
51?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And how, because, you know, my wife has twins. Right now.
Almost, right?
She's they're coming in a few weeks, probably 5 or 6 weeks if all goes well. Did you go full term with these twins?
I went full term. I delivered them without any medication.
All right. I'm going to go home and yell at my wife.
You can read all about it in my book.
Listen,
<Adam.
laughs> see this beautiful? Let me show you the old black and white picture I have from junior high, sweetie. Yes, that's Adrian Barbeau, 51 years of age. No epidural, nothing. Deliver those kids one full term. Now quit your complaining. Get in the kitchen, rattle those pots and pans.
I'm running off with Adrian Barbeau. The two of you go off together. Like the Brady Bunch, you know, let her husband, your mm-hmm. wife, raise the four kids, and the two of you go off on a cannonball together.
Yes, we'll hop in my Countach and hit the road. When I say Countach, I mean Nissan.
Oh.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Because
you
look 60.
You look spectacular.
I'm going to be 61 in about a month. 2 months.
Great genes, healthy living. How do you do it?
I think it's healthy living, probably, and great genes.
The book, speaking of healthy living, now look at the picture on the front of this book, everyone.
Wow.
There Are Worse Things I Could Do is the name of Adrian's book. Now, how was I, so this is a picture of Adrian in her full cleavage effect. I don't know how old you are in this picture.
We shot that in 79. What? I was, you do the math, it's too early for me. I was in my late 20s.
Wow, look at that.
Hubba hubba.
Yes, you see why I was attracted to her. What is in this book?
Well, there's stories in there about Stag Movie, about Burt Reynolds, about Cannonball Run. It's not an autobiography. It's just a series of pieces.
What about Reynolds? Yes. What about you and Burt? Reynolds?
Well, did you and Burt
happen? Did that happen? Book.
We happened for a short period of time, long before Cannonball
Run. The hottest man in America.
Long before Cannonball Run. Yeah.
Really? The two of you. How about that?
It was not very many people knew about it. They do now if they buy the book.
Adrian, do you think there's more or less of that going around now? I mean, you hear about, Richie Sambora hooking up with Denise Richards and this sort of musical chair thing. This celebrity went out with that celebrity, and now that celebrity's going out with this other celebrity. Were things more casual back then? I mean, without the paparazzi everywhere, without the entertainment shows.
I think that's really what it was. I don't know if there's a difference in the what's happening, but we've got the media has changed. I mean, in the 70s, I don't even know if maybe People magazine was on the stands, but we didn't have.
You could get away with
it. You weren't reading about everyone's life every day of the week.
Right.
And hearing about it on every news show.
If Adrienne Barbeau wanted to hook up with Burt Reynolds, she could do it.
Yes. There was nothing, we were both single. We were just hanging out together, but we didn't.
But it wouldn't be splashed all over the tabloids, which didn't really exist, except for maybe in England or something.
We were sort of more discreet, I think, too. I mean,
you guys didn't do it outside?
No.
You and Burt Reynolds were together. I'm never going to watch a Cannonball Run again the same. And I watch it about twice a week still. I do. I love it.
Who else? Any other guys on this list?
Well, in terms of what's in the book, it's just stories from my life. Moving to New York when I was 19 and working for the mob and being married to John Carpenter and all the horror films. And then
did he do The Fog?
John did The Fog, yeah.
And he did Escape from New York, too, right? Which you were in.
Right. And
did he do The Swamp Thing or was that somebody else?
No, that was Wes Craven.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you do for the mob?
I was trying to be an actress on Broadway, mm-hmm. and I needed to work at night so I could have my days free for auditions and things. So I took a job as a cocktail waitress, and eventually, came to realize that, nobody even said mafia in those days,
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're working.
You wouldn't live to say anything else.
Working at the Bada Bing. Huh?
And I ended up. I've been told becoming one of the very first go-go dancers in existence.
Really?
My boss had these motorized mannequins dressed up like musicians on a stage, and he used to play records.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come in and, buy a drink and turn around to hear a live band, and there was no band. It was just these dummies.
Right.
So they get annoyed.
Right.
And the boss finally said, get up on stage and dance. Let's calm them down. And years later, someone wrote a book about it and said, that was the beginning of go-go dancing.
It was a simpler time when a man could yell at a 19-year-old chick with a D cup. Listen, baby, get up, jump up there and start shaking your ass a little bit. Yeah, I'm the accountant. I don't care. Start dancing. Oh, what a day. I could just yell at Claudia, start dancing, baby. My eyes are getting bored in here, baby. Start shaking your ass. It was just a simpler time. What was so wrong with that? He's paying you. The tips were good.
Yeah, $125 a week. I never thought I'd see more money than that in my life.
Yeah. You look good. You're proud of your body, right?
We were. This was long before topless. We were wearing black leotards with little skirts.
But you weren't uptight.
I was dancing. I was having a good time.
Free love.
Well, I didn't go that far.
Do you think society has sort of tightened up a little bit?
I don't think you would see Maude on television now.
Mm.
All of the episodes that we did, the which were very socially significant and controversial at the time.
It was,
seeing that.
It
in
was
sitcoms.
A fantastic time to grow up watching Maude, All in the Family, and all these good times when there's nothing that a 9-year-old wants to watch than folks tackle social issues.
it was funny.
Yes, it was a funny show. Look, I would just sit there and wait. I didn't even need the sound on. I was just waiting for you in those tight sweaters to come down the stairs, make that big appearance, yell at your lesbian mom a little bit, and then pow,
Adrian Barba.
On another date.
Adrian Barba, you have to choose. Burt Reynolds, circa 75, Smokey. You know,
Smoking the Bandit?
Mustache in full effect. Mm-hmm. Or Adam Carolla right now at the height of his game. I'll have to choose one.
I'll take Adam.
Wow.
Stop the show.
That is nice. You know, I only take my pants off for one... Wait a minute. How did that go? Yes. Burt only took his hat off for one thing. And I realize it's because he was wearing a tube the entire
That came as a surprise
thing,
to me.
But it was lovemaking.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Even back then?
Was he saw him bald-headed.
Yeah. No, I didn't see him bald-headed. But
you knocked it right off him, didn't you? With your vigorous lovemaking. Rolled it up.
End of story. Read the book.
All right. We will read the book. The name of the book, There Are Worse Things I Could Do. Adrian Barbeau, thank you for coming
in. Thank you.
Thanks for being patient, baby doll. Tuesday, May 9th, going to be at Book Soup, and then the 10th, Dark Delicacies over in Burbank, and the list goes on and on. Find the book, find Adrian. Thanks. A dream come true. We'll take a quick break. We'll keep going with our guitar licks contest. We have some guys who claim they can play the rock guitar. We'll talk to them after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Well, now my number one life mission, actually. Number two life mission. Number one, get Adrian Barbeau in the sack. Number two, reassemble the band Focus.
Taking care of a lot of business today. It was a nice diversion to deal with Barbeau. It was worth it to put the guitar heroics on hold.
Yeah, but we must continue forward. First off, we have five pairs of tickets to give away the Kid Rock concert, which is out here at the Gibson Amphitheater. Universal Amphitheater, the old schoolers call it. That's coming up tomorrow, the concert's tomorrow. Also, we have ourselves a grand prize, which is a Gibson Les Paul guitar. $1,400 value. It is a nice guitar. It's showing up tomorrow. We decided that somebody, the person that's going to walk away with this guitar, should be playing it. So they should come into the studio and play Hocus Pocus by Focus. Here's the lick. Yeah. Stone Jam. Point is I want to know if you can play the guitar first. We tried this earlier in the morning to mixed results. Lewis?
Yes.
You play the guitar?
Yes, sir.
Can you play us a recognizable guitar lick?
How about Green Day's When I Come Around?
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a very simple riff.
Sure.
All right, do you have another one?
How about, I can do part of the intro to Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
Just part of the intro, though.
Yeah, just do the first 10 minutes.
I don't know the first 10 minutes.
All right, hold on a second. I'm a little nervous.
Wow, it's interesting.
Well, because it's like Dave the sports guy. Can you name a NFL Hall of Famer?
Gale Sayers.
And then how about another?
I can name the first name of one.
Makes me nervous.
Terry.
Maybe you don't know so much about sports.
Bobby Hull.
The fact that Lewis had to take 10 minutes in between his first riff and his second riff makes me
wasn't
nervous.
Wasn't in tune either.
Not in tune. Lewis, how long have you been playing the guitar?
Just a couple of years.
I'm not sure if you're a man. We're looking for guys who can really swing an axe.
Lewis, be honest. Do you think in 24 hours you're going to be able to pick up the Hocus Pocus song?
I don't know.
That's going to be the key.
Well, I'll tell you. It's that kind of brash bravado that initially attracted me to Lewis.
He's being honest.
All right. All right, Lewis. Do Stairway to Heaven.
All right. Can you hear that?
Yes. Hold on, Jimmy Page is in the room. Do not tell me you don't have Jimmy Page with that double neck guitar. And by the way, if I was in a band, I'd play three necks. And then I'd start competing with the other guy, and he'd have four necks, and it would just keep escalating. 28 neck guitar. Lewis.
Lewis is in.
That was just bad enough to be funny.
Lewis, you're on your way to Hollywood.
He's calling from Palm Springs. I wonder if he has reliable transportation. Doesn't sound like he does. Lewis,
yes.
What do you get around on?
91 Ford Explorer.
All right. You think it'll make it out to Los Angeles without overheating?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He's a man of mystery. What do you do for a living, Lewis?
I work at a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you could get the day off to come play for us tomorrow?
Probably not.
Okay.
Can I just call you guys and play?
No.
You want me in?
Yeah. Lewis, let's look at a bigger picture here.
What is it?
You're never gonna get laid.
Okay.
Never. You can't say to a woman, "Would you like to go out on a date?" Unless you don't want to go. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to be more positive.
I am positive, dude.
Okay, dude. Are you still living at home?
No, my mom's in Vegas, dude.
So she moved, but you're living in the house she used to live in.
How'd you know?
Shocker. I knew you weren't supporting yourself. All right, she must be very proud.
Yeah.
You're working at the Cineplex, hammering out the beats of the first 5 minutes. What's that?
It's an art house, not
okay.
A Cineplex.
All right, well, look, we're not going to send a helicopter to drag your ass over here. You have to show up.
Don't accuse him of being some low-rent loser. His movie house plays foreign films.
That's right. All right, let's see. Ruben?
Yeah?
Can you play the guitar for us?
I think so.
All right. It's got to be a lick we recognize.
You'll recognize it.
All right.
All right, man. Hang on.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, little Halen. Yeah. Wow. Oh, this is Eruption, right, off Van Halen? Wow.
All right.
All right. Nobody likes a show off, Ruben. Ruben.
Hey.
Nice work.
Hey, thanks.
Wow.
Go ahead and tell him, Ace.
You're in, buddy. Was that Eruption by Van Halen?
There you go.
All right. You're in. You know how I know that song is called Eruption? Because sometime when I was about 20, maybe 21, and I was living in a one-bedroom apartment with me, my buddy Chris, and the Wheeze, I decided to take the day off of construction work. Because, you know, hot summer, $7 an hour to dig ditches, screw that. I called in sick. The Wheeze called in sick, too. Chris did not call in sick, but Chris was up all night. He used to work the overnight shift. He'd work like 8 p.m. to like 7 a.m. and roll in smelling a beer at about 9 in the morning. We all decided to have a me day. I went down to the bank, had to put a little money in there, and bought speakers from a guy out of a van in the parking lot of the bank of the Home Savings and Loan in Studio City. Remember it well. I had to put money in the bank because we bounced the rent check a few days earlier. So, went home, got into my bathrobe, plugged in these two huge speakers I bought from a guy in a van, and the Wheeze put on Van Halen's Eruption. Now, we had the slot car set going in the living room. We had the bong in the infield, and we had rabbits at this point. Donnie, on a whim, had bought rabbits. and we're letting the rabbits and a kitten we'd found run around the infield, around the bong and the slot cars of our living room, and everyone was wearing a towel at best, and I turned this thing up, Donnie was turning it up. Now it's like noon, and it's Tuesday, and he's got this thing cranked up to 11, and I can't hear him, and it's like, that speaker sound awesome, dude. Oh, man, this on. And I don't hear a knock on the door. I just feel a vibration, you know. And I'm like, what, Don? And he can't hear me, and he's high. Don, turn that down. And I say, open the door. Jim Posel, our landlord, is standing there.
This has the makings of the worst gay porn I've ever heard.
Now, because it's a one-bedroom, the door just opens into the living room. So the slot car, the bong, the rabbits, all of us in towels. Actually, not Chris, because he ran. Chris actually hid in the bedroom. He was there because we bounced the check, and he wanted another check. And he never came over. He just thought this is what we do every single Tuesday. I remember he said, I heard music coming from inside my car when I pulled up, and you guys live on the second floor, and you're on Laurel Canyon. He just thought this was what we did every single Tuesday about noon.
Little did he know. He heard music. He comes in. There's bestiality afoot.
Oh, my God.
Don't forget now to tell Ruben that he must learn he has to learn Hocus Pocus in the next 24 hours.
That's not going to be a tall order for a guy like Ruben. Ruben?
Ah, Mr. Showoff.
Yes. All right, Ruben. Hang on.
Cool.
You're in, buddy.
Thanks.
All right. It's nice playing. Yeah. And you know the thing that was funny? The check I cut my landlord standing there because the other one had bounced. Because he went straight to the bank from our place. That's perfect timing. Matthew?
Hold on, here's Matthew.
Oh, Matthew's your child. Matthew?
Hello?
Matthew, how old are you?
I'm 9 years old, and my birthday's this coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday, all right. And you'll be 10 this coming Tuesday?
Yes.
Well, it's all down.
Nice job with the math there.
It's all downhill. Well, you know why you talk to kids like they're kids? Because they're kids.
I see.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you'll be 10. And you can play the guitar?
Yes.
Do you have a riff for us? Can you play something?
Uh-huh, yeah.
All right. Let's hear it. Yeah. It's like the beginning of Like Us, this show. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nice.
Hello?
Is that Enter Sandman?
Yeah.
It's great that your mom has you listening to Metallica at age 9.
Yeah.
Very positive role
and
model.
And at 8:30 in the morning when most 9-year-olds are at something called school.
Yeah.
I like this.
Do you know the words to Enter Sandman?
He does not.
Good.
Thank you.
I don't want this kid getting tats and, you know, like a frenulum piercing at age 10 or 11. You're okay. Okay.
Mama, you'll take him out of school tomorrow so he can come and perform?
Oh, sure, you bet.
Do you think you could teach him Hocus Pocus by Focus in 22 hours?
Absolutely.
Okay.
How come he's at home today?
He's not at home. He starts at 9:10. His backpack's ready. He's going out the door.
What's at 9:10?
Yeah, 9:10.
Well, he's 9. What are you, in the second grade? What are you at 9? Third grade?
Third, yeah.
Fourth
grade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to be 10. That's right, on Tuesday. Here's the thing. Fourth grade, shouldn't school start at like 7:30 or 8?
Not in Vegas.
Oh, he's in Vegas. How's he going to perform? Are you going to get here?
No, we're not going to be able to make it.
All right.
Don't play games with our heart.
We appreciate you listening to him. That was very nice of you.
Okay. Well, much luck to you.
Thank you, Adam.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Let's see if we can get another one. Yeah, it was good.
Better than everyone else besides Ruben.
Maybe you should open for a 13-year-old comedian.
Tyler?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I have two. Actually, here's one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Crazy Train? No, it's Ozzy, right? Is it Crazy Train?
It's Crazy Train.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good.
And I have one other one.
All right. Hendrix.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, it's Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. I'm pretty good at this game.
Well, okay. He technically knows how to play it. He lacks a certain amount of rhythm. Maybe between now and tomorrow he could sleep with a black woman and fix that and learn to play Hocus Pocus.
All right, can you work on your Hocus Pocus by focus and be in here tomorrow?
Easily.
Do you have to go to school? You're only 17.
I can get out of school.
Smart. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, hang on, Tyler.
Okay.
All right, let's see.
We have some interesting candidates.
Yeah, we're looking for a mixed batch. Sue?
Yes. Good morning, Adam.
What's happening?
I've got someone who can actually play guitar.
Your husband?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to start with Hocus Pocus and move into Communication Breakdown.
Ooh.
Nice. Wow.
Love to hear Communication Breakdown. I can see why you're attracted to him initially.
Slid nicely.
Yeah. Right into Communication Breakdown. Great, one of the greatest guitar riffs of all time. Oh, Zeppelin had the market cornered on those riffs. All right, Sue. You calling from Los Angeles?
Yes, we are.
All right. What does your husband do besides make a living with his rock guitar?
He's a day trader. Guitarist by night, day trader by day.
I don't like those guys. White-collar corporate world guys have to prove to you how hip they are at every turn. I don't like those guys.
He's playing guitar all his life in the clubs. He's been hacking it out.
All right. Well, will you bring him down here tomorrow?
We most certainly will.
All right. And if you can bring some hot groupies, that'd be nice. Really round things out. All right, if you have a younger sister or something.
How about a 3-year-old?
How about you bring her over in about 6 years?
Okay.
Or, you know, whatever. Whatever. All right, we got to get one more?
One more.
Someone's on line one plays the acoustic guitar. Alex?
Yeah,
Alex. You have an acoustic guitar?
Yep.
You want to play a riff for us?
Yeah, here we go.
Ben, more Zeppelin. Beautiful part about Zeppelin is you have no idea if this is a Misty Mountain Hop or Achilles' Last Stand or whatever the hell it you have just no, you have no idea because they never named their songs anything that was in the goddamn song. Is this Babe I'm Gonna Leave You?
Yeah.
This was the one. It's the only song ever. It's the only one that they actually put the lyrics. I remember being like 13 and going, I'm going to buy a Led Zeppelin album and just looking at the back, a Black Dog. I don't know that one. Like, you know, you were just so conditioned to hearing the song in the title. Really, you got to be confident as a band not to do that.
I don't mean to be a stickler, but I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more out of him to prove his value.
My God.
All right, what else do you have, Alex?
We got Black Dog.
Okay.
Whoops, hold up. Damn it.
Oh, that's Black Dog, yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one. All right, Alex, you're in.
Nice.
You think you can learn Hocus Pocus by focus this time tomorrow? All right, buddy. We'll put you on hold. I think we got it.
This is going to be some competition tomorrow.
Yeah.
$1,400 Gibson.
Exciting. About the 28th time we hear Focus at 7:15 tomorrow morning. It's going to be wicked. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Oh, our drunken tree mascot is in the building. That's going to be exciting. Again, the big finals tomorrow, everybody. Who's going to walk away with that Les Paul guitar? Take a quick break. Be back with Drunken Tree Girl after this.
Let's go. Let's go.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a D.
D.
What is it?
Spell though.
Adam Carolla.
She got drunk in her costume.
She smells like a bar room. Kicked out of Stanford. Drunk tree mascot.
I think I may need a bucket.
She's completely loaded. Her beer gut is bloated. She'll screw you for a quarter. Drunk tree mascot.
Champagne makes me fart.
All right. That was awesome sounding. Drunken tree mascot girl is here.
Aaron
she was
from Stanford.
Yeah, she was the tree mascot at Stanford. She got busted for boozing. We needed a mascot on this show. Well, thought it would be perfect. We got a brand new roller skate. She's got a brand new key. Hasn't been working out so well so far. Turns
lovely
out
as ever.
She can't
thank
handle the
you.
Booze.
How are you?
Good to see you. Good to see you, Aaron. Good to see you in good spirits this morning.
I'm in okay spirits.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't for brisket over here.
Yeah, brisket, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I usually don't speak my mind.
No, no.
But
a delicate wallflower, yeah.
But I saw a thing online about the Maury Povich and the sexual harassment, and I'm starting to add it up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I have a thing against brisket.
Yeah, you think he's been inappropriate?
What did I do?
Yeah, what didn't you do? I'll give you the scenario. I was by the thing on the, over the, by the other thing.
Uh-huh.
Which is near the pictures.
Right.
And he was like, do you want a cup of coffee? Right? Whatever pirate voice that is. So, and I said, I don't know why. You know, to play it out and see what he was doing. So, so then he said, no, do you want a cup of coffee? I'm serious. And then he just looked at me with those eyes.
Yeah.
I'm going to charge him with something.
Beady lesbian eyes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what the heck? It's like I ordered a pizza and then this little piece of bread came. Right?
Yeah.
That's fun. Adam Carulla.
It's been a while, guys.
Yeah. All right, well, I can see you haven't put down the booze, but that's all right.
Huh?
Okay, I know.
Where's
it's early.
The booze?
It's early. Get it. Get drunk and free mascot girl a beer, would you?
Chubby little.
Hustle up now, brisket, would you please?
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
All right, now.
I'm a brisket.
You do funny voices.
Thank you.
So we'd ask you.
I can do you too.
You
let's
can,
hear that.
Eh?
To do Quiznos. Hot roasted panino. Hey, the thing about roasted panino. Right?
She got you,
Carol. Well, that's flattering.
Oh, no,
that's not. That's not right. That's Claudia.
Ah, Claudia.
That's right.
Claudia.
Well, she's doing the news for us now.
What's news?
Well, that's okay. Let's not digress too much. We asked you to learn some cheers.
V8.
You don't have a beer?
That's just like my friend Stathis said he was going to meet me at the Gee, the guy to go to the gum, and then Todd was there, but he wasn't really there. It was just a picture. Bottom line, you knew me.
Yeah, look at it as just a virgin Bloody Mary. I think that's when I can drink
gross.
V8, I can hold it down if I think of it as a virgin Bloody Mary. That way, it's a booze drink just without the booze. Yeah. So, do you have any cheers for us or anything planned for us? Because, again, we're looking for a mascot. And, you know, you show up drunk once a week and you yell at brisket, but we're going to need more out of you than that, inevitably.
Well, I told you, Adam, if you want more out of me, you just have to wait till their show's over. 59, dude!
Not 69's my number.
50.
All right.
Yeah, I worked on a couple. I tried to get music to help me carry some of these cheers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just go ahead and play it. I made this on GarageBand. And I'm going to do my thing.
Oh, a fight song.
Oh, good. You need a fight song. Is this Notre Dame?
Yeah, I don't think Dean made the song up. Yeah, it's an Irish fight song.
I think this Adam Carolla show.
Yeah, that's not, it's not exactly composing a song.
Boop. Wait. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Drunk
and three minute.
She didn't come up with this song. This is a.
Do you have a real song for us?
I made that up.
No, this one goes back to like Newt Rockne All-American. I mean, this goes way back.
Well, you didn't even really have words for it there, and you can don't cry about it.
Yeah, we're not beating you up.
Oh, no.
Listen, we're not beating you up, but we are asking you to do a little bit better than what you've been doing.
What are you asking me to do? I'm giving you everything.
Well, we asked you to come up with Cheers last time, and you didn't really come up with anything. And
just playing the Notre Dame fight song and then saying Adam Carolla show once or twice.
I put a lot of work into this, okay? I had to get dressed this morning, and all my light bulbs are out. So, like, try to do that one. And then it's like, where'd my earrings go? And I finally left them at Gary's, but they're probably at Greg's, but their names are just similar. So, it's like, there's a lot of pressure on me.
No, I understand. Do you have another song? Do we have... Do you prepare anything else?
Did I?
Yeah.
Just the testimony against brisket.
Oh,
and he farted too, I think.
That's
or maybe
breath.
It was me. One of us. I can do. I have another fight. It's hard to hear because I put the microphones over my hair.
Yeah, you have to get your ears
tucked
in there.
Yes.
Yeah, turn it up a little for her, would you, brisket?
New roasted panino. Like, do you really like the roasted panino, Adam?
I like all the products I endorse. We've heard that cheer before. Do you have something else for us?
But it's
can you do it in rhythm with the fight song?
Okay. Okay. Is it going, the song, or is that in my head?
No, it's going. We can hear it, too.
Adam Carolla.
All right. I don't think this is working out.
Obviously, this is the Wisconsin fight song.
Drunken,
so
yeah.
The music.
Drunken Tree mascot girl. I'm going to have to ask you to clear out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this isn't working out, clearly.
And can Rachel go with me?
No. Yes, actually, she can. Yes.
You look me right in the eyes as if you don't even like me anymore.
I'm sorry, but you know what? Call it tough love. Call it limits. Call it personal boundaries. We've asked you on now four or five occasions to sober up, act professional, come in here prepared, and deliver the goods, and you failed on all accounts.
Oh, did I really on all accounts, Mr.
Okay, all right. Brisket.
No, you tell Brisket.
Show her out, would you please?
Show me out.
I will stand up for you, but please show her the door. We have more show. There's much more show to go.
Todd
Glass, comedian, is coming in here.
At least she got free beer.
Your pancakes, digger.
Wow, she called him a pancake sticker. Yes, it's gone.
Guys, you guys were rough on her.
We need to take a break. Jose, who called in the 6 o'clock hour about finding a girl's coat with her ID in it, wallet at a casino in Vegas last night, who's hot for her, has an update on this.
Ooh.
We should talk to him. Jose?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Not much. I did find her house.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a little bit of a study because it's in one of the new complexes in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I found her house. She lives with her family.
Mm.
Her mom, her dad, her brothers and stuff.
How do you know?
Because her little brother opened the door.
Sad. Yeah, you got the hots for this chick. She was hanging out with a 60-year-old in your casino. She left her jacket. You want to hook up with her. So what happened when her brother answered the door?
He was like, "Who are you?"
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "I'm Jose." And he goes,
I always start with that, too.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm the bartender that found her jacket and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, really? His eyes get big and wide. He's like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Drunken Tree Mask got his back. And
the new roasted Panino. All
right. You know what, Brisket?
The new roasted Adam Panino.
Brisket, I've heard enough.
Every time that I try to get involved, this is
walk. Show her the door.
Wait. She left her beer here.
Right.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Jose.
That's all good.
Can I drink it?
Yeah, go ahead and drink her beer.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, no abusing alcohol around.
So what happened? Did you get hold of her? Did her brother show her the door?
Well, her brother was going to be like, I'm going to wake her up. And I was like, I know she's drunk off her ass, so don't worry about it. Just tell that, you know, I told him my nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, tell us now.
All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is the Mexican fire?
Fire chief.
Two sons.
I know that one.
Two sons.
I know that one.
What is it?
Jose Hose B.
All right, so what's my nickname?
Hose B? Hep C?
Yeah. Hose B.
Oh,
God.
Man, I hope Jose's good looking. Better be good looking.
We can send in his brother, Hose B.
All right, we got to take ourselves a break. Let's keep Drunken Tree Mascot Girl out of here if we could. We have comedian Todd Glass coming in studio. We will talk to him in a moment. So we'll keep you updated on the delightful Jose and figure out if she called him back or whatever. That's nice for the little brother to hear that your floozy big sister's loaded from the night before where she was swinging with some six-year-old in my casino. She probably choked her own vomit. You may want to check her out.
Especially uncomfortable since she's 12.
Right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we need to push forward. Comedian Todd Glass is waiting in the wings. Claudia DeFalco is going to be doing the news.
Yeah, before we move on.
Yeah, huh?
Someone's has something to say. Wants to say, I'm sorry.
Somebody has something to say.
Okay, don't make fun of Brisket.
Yeah, well, I do have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it sounded like when Brisket farted next to me. Yeah, how does it feel?
You said you
smell the truth.
Okay, now I thought you were going to apologize.
I brought you out here to apologize to Adam because you were rude.
Jar of pickles.
Now listen,
you run some sort of freak show where you didn't just harass people near the coffee pot. And I'm supposed to forget it. I got a pressed exam coming up. I got a lot of pressure on me.
Get out. Enough.
Yeah. I want to leave. I don't like this place.
Brisket.
There's not even a bar in here.
Brisket.
Adam.
Get him out of here. Get her out of here. Get it out of here.
She really adores you.
I know that's tough. Brisket asked me not to speak about it on the air. He's doesn't want to bring the show down, but during a routine breast examination in the shower yesterday, he found a lump. And I'm sorry.
Courageous.
Brisket, I know it's not the kind of thing you'd like me to talk about on the air. I know we don't want to make your burden the show's burden.
I'm going through a tough time.
That's what I'm saying. Let's cut the guy some slack.
Is that any excuse for Brisket to, apparently, I mean, according to Drunk Tree Mascot, Brisket's been sexually harassing her now.
You know what, brother? When people react to stress in different ways, Dave. It's not up to us to judge. I'm just saying.
I'm not judging. I just don't want the show to get into legal trouble because Brisket can't keep his mitts to himself.
Look, he's...
The truth is she came on to me first, but it is a tough time for me, so...
He's getting a mammogram at noon today.
Maury Povich with all the headlines about sexual harassment, and now this stink on us.
I don't know if you people listening are religious people. I don't know what your faith is, but if you could just set aside a few minutes today just to say a little prayer for...
Light a candle.
Our lesbian producer, Jimmy Brisket. Hope that mammogram comes out. If that baby's benign.
I got my fingers crossed.
Okay. Stay strong. Stay strong for all of us. Now, it is time for Claudia DeFalco and her news.
Us Weekly is reporting that Britney Spears is definitely pregnant with baby number two. Around Pooch has been spotted. It could end up just being an overdose of Cheetos, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough because she's not in exactly fighting form these days, you know. She does like the, likes to nosh out on the white trash confection. A lot of nachos and whatnot.
So kind you gotta of looks wonder. Like Brusca, but with blonde hair.
Yeah, the, she has smaller areolas. That's what I noticed. And, but they're not as salty as Brusca's.
Hmm.
Those that are the differences. Those are the main differences for me.
If it is a baby, this would be the fourth for her husband, K-Fed.
Brusca, how many months pregnant are you? You look about six. You're about eight.
All right, that's enough.
Well done.
The Associated Press. The Associated Press is reporting that after pleading guilty to drunken driving, Lost actress Michelle Rodriguez decided to pay a $500 fine and spend 5 days in the slammer instead of doing 240 hours of community service.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was sort of thinking about it when I was driving in, and I thought, well, that's noble. But then, you know, 8 hours, if you're doing 8 or 10 hours on a weekend, that's every Saturday for, like, the next 7 or 8 months. Could you imagine?
Yeah, listen, I mean, it makes a moral, it makes a statement about, you know, your morality that
that's
you
not what she's
aren't
doing
going
it.
To community service. She's going to the joint. Would you go to the joint? Oh, I see what Claudia's saying.
That's not why. She wants to get it done and over with. She says that she wants to get it done and over with to get back to work and
oh,
make money.
Oh, I thought
money.
You were saying so she could
basically
deal with some prison rape. Yeah.
That's
no, basically what I'm saying is, Sheck, what if I told you you were going to be busy washing cop cars or cleaning graffiti from now until Christmas every Saturday? Or you could just close your eyes and this nightmare would be over on Tuesday or Monday or whatever it is.
I would not do. There's nothing I would think would be worse than spending 5 days in the joint. But again, you know, she likes the ladies, and if she's going to be locked up with other
good point,
ladies.
Yeah, group showers.
Are you really that afraid of jail?
Yes, I know it's shocking that I would be afraid of going to the pokey for 5 days. Yes, I know it's outrageous. Tad, by the way, Lynch just reminded me once decided instead of doing community service himself, decided to spend the night in the clink.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, but you think if you went to the joint, you'd immediately just take up with the Moyle Brotherhood. They have all those Jewish gangs.
That's true.
I imagine in there. And then they'd have your back.
Safe in the cocoon.
That's right. Yeah. Smart.
Hey, guys, with this next story, you know we're in the wrong business. Just 2 more weeks to go, and Vangelina's baby picture could fetch over $1 million.
Mm. It's just a bucket of cells right now. I want to see the picture. It's a chick, right? Is it a chick?
She knows the sex.
We don't know?
She knows what it is, but she's not saying.
All right, you show me a nude picture around 16 or 17, I'll pay some money for that. The bucket of cells part. You're not going to be able to tell my kid. I wouldn't even tell my kids apart until they're 18 or 19. Mm-hmm.
I'm Claudia DeFalco, and I'm done.
And Dave, for being nasty to me, no sports.
We gotta go.
Untrue. I'm doing the sports, whether you like it or not. We gotta go. Seriously.
Number
don't
one
seriously
sports.
Me. Go to break.
All right, we're running very late here. We need to take a break. Todd Glass, a comedian, waiting in the wings. We'll bring him in. Talk to him right
creep
after this.
Brusca.
I like to dress up as a pilot, right? This is a lot of fun. I dress up as a pilot, and then I go to an airport bar and get drunk. That's good fun, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. You just sit there all day. Oh, my God. I think I've had too
I think we
many.
Stole that from you. Or you stole from us, depending on where this is from.
Yeah, that's somebody told me that. You go, this is from 5 years ago.
Oh,
but I'm not one of those guys. You know what
we're
I mean?
Right there.
Are we right on the same time? Someone told me they saw it on the show. They're like, yeah, I saw it. I'm like, I'm not one of those guys. Like, especially over a bit like that. You know, some guys are like, that was my joke about a Slurpee. All right, relax.
Yeah, I know. I hear the same stuff I think about. You realize, well, there are only so many directions to go comedically. And great minds think alike.
Great minds think alike.
Todd, I go none of those directions. That's my thing.
Todd Glass is here. He's a comedian.
Thank you.
Todd's Coma. It's the name of pilot you just finished.
Yes.
Speaking of pilots.
I can't really talk about it, though.
No, we're just laughing about those blowhards during the break. Also, I'm reading here in your card, you think bathroom design is all screwed up. I've often said that myself.
God, Mike August takes good notes. Yeah, I'm not even kidding you. I just started talking about this in my act, but it's like not like I'm trying to make cheap bathroom jokes. Mm-hmm. I really... You're probably way more passionate about it than what
no,
will scare you
no,
guys.
No, you cannot be.
Okay, I like, what I'm about to talk about is not like I'm saying, oh, doorknobs, we shouldn't have to touch them. No, mm-hmm. you have to touch doorknobs.
Right.
I think this is worse than that. The way we design bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
it's like if they tried to figure out how we were as a society like 100 years from now,
mm-hmm.
they would not know what we were like because we don't like using those bathrooms. We're shy people.
Right.
And they have the 2-foot gap between the floor and the...
Yes.
It's like, no, I want a separate room.
Yes.
And I need noise.
Yes.
And I need a guy to play the trumpet in there or something.
This is much like the pilots get drunk at the airport a bit. All things I've either thought or said. Yes, if there ever was a time we needed a wall to go all the
yes.
way to the goddamn floor, it was when we were taking a dump.
Right. And why is that? Why do some people build bathrooms? How about there's no divider in between the urinals? Some have at least a...
Yes.
What company's building the bathroom and goes, yeah, they don't want a divider? Yes, we do!
Yes.
How about... I got a few of them more, right?
I'm like a pod.
How about when you go to the supermarket, they don't even have a bathroom. You got to go through the produce section. All the way in the back, there's a dirty mop and bucket next. This is a food place, a business, and the bathroom isn't immaculate. And they have dented up cans piled up next to you on the toilet.
Right.
They're going to return them, get a nickel back. They haven't got around to it or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's always the unisex one. The other thing is, I think the reason there's so much whiz on toilet seats is that you have to slide your hand underneath the toilet seat between the bowl and the seat in order to lift it up. They should start putting tabs, little handles, on toilet seats. Just put a little thumb grab so I can lift the thing up without sliding the hand under the horrible toilet seat.
I do with the foot, you know, even how we flush with the foot.
Does it
everyone
with the foot.
Talks.
Right.
And there was a sign at a radio station in Minneapolis said, do not flush with your foot. I swear, I'm in there going, yeah, right. I'm flushing with my foot. I don't want to follow a dumb sign.
That's just a reminder to flush with your foot is essentially what it is.
Here's the, what's the one more thing about the bathrooms? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, no, I'll tell you. Here's first off, tile, acoustically, ceramic tile, a horrible thing to do your bathroom in. It's nothing but sheet metal and acoustic tile. I mean, really, you break wind, it reverberates throughout the building in that little recording studio you have in there.
That's not the best. Can't we do something like some foam
put some milk cartons on the ceiling.
Here was the other thing. And again, I don't think I'm being crazy. It just shows how backwards we are when it comes to bathrooms, even our own house, what we put up with. When you go to someone's, if you had a problem with your ventilation in your kitchen,
mm-hmm.
if you had a problem and you made chicken one night and it went through the home, you go, honey, we got to get the carpenter here. Within a week, you'd have a new fan being put above your stove.
Right.
But for some reason in bathrooms, the smell just wafts around. No, sometimes no fan. I say, if I build my own house, I'm having a pizza oven fan. You know what I mean by that? Like,
yes.
It's going to move
Convection.
Air. It's going to move
sucking.
Air.
You want to see people's hair moving.
Yeah. If I rip up a Kleenex and I put it a foot away from a fan, it should suck it into there, just like the ceiling.
I want it to be like an industrial spray booth for cars, you know, just sucking. Yes, I want to see your eyebrows start lifting. I want to see you want people to hover just above the floor.
I'm really obsessed. I think we should boycott restaurants. I really do. I had this show called Tagless Changes America,
mm-hmm.
and like the thing is, some people go, "Are you serious about that?" I go, "You know what? I have bits in my act I'm not serious about, but I am serious. I think we should say by 5 years from now, if every restaurant doesn't have enclosed stalls, we don't go there.
Yeah.
They have 5 years because we don't like it. It's humiliating. You know, you're at a restaurant, you have to go to the bathroom. It's horrible.
Also, the secondhand spray. I mean, we talk about secondhand smoke. Forget about that. I can put up with that. It's the secondhand tinkle spray when the guy's standing at the urinal and there's no division and he's had a six or a Heineken and he's letting it all fly. His urethra's been all augered out by God knows what, and he's letting it go like a fire hose, and you can physically feel the spray of his urine. Yes, all right, before I vomit, we need to take a break. Todd Glass is here. We're going to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Oh, I'm going
to
like this.
With Todd, I hope you bring the same zeal and commitment you did to changing America.
Yes.
A little something we call Ass Kiss Rodeo. We'll be right back with Todd Glass after this.
Next time you walk by a car that's getting a ticket, act like it's your car. They're not going to think twice about it. Just walk over and go, that's my car, don't give it a ticket, you piece of Oh, yeah, you can tow it. I dare you to tow it. You couldn't even get it towed. Don't act like you have the power to tow my car. I had 45 cars towed yesterday. Is that wrong?
Todd Glass in studio.
Those jokes that 5 years later, I'm embarrassed about those.
Why? That's funny.
Okay.
I like that. Todd Glass is in studio. As we said, we're going to play a little Last Kiss Rodeo, as promised, with him. You want to talk about your mother first for a moment,
I want
believe.
To get somebody to sponsor my mom. Like, she, it's a long story, but now she's she needs money.
Right. She's coming to you.
Yeah, she's coming. But I don't mind. I help her out. But I thought, and I'll continue to help her out if I have to. I don't mind doing it. But I thought, I can go on any radio station. I can mention, like, Winchell's Donuts. So there's got to be a company out there going, we'll spend $2,000 a month. Todd's mom gets the money, and then we're at whatever radio show, I mention their name cleverly throughout my interview.
Yeah.
Like right now, if let's say it was Home Depot, I would just go, did I mention I was at Home Depot the other day? And then I would get into the store.
Right.
So there's got to be someone in their car right now going, $2,000 a month? You know, how much does it cost for an ad on this show to get
Jeez,
a quick
I don't
mention?
Know. It's
a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It'd be funny, though, if you're working in your spots. The jokes weren't that funny. Like, you were like, hey, I got to tell you, I was at a Home Depot the other day. Boy, do they have some selection.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's so obvious.
That's
that
not
I'm
funny. I'll tell you what, I thought about this too, because
I was at Winchell's. My God, how many donut selections can you have?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know if that was worth interrupting you for to tag your joke.
Probably not. No, I was thinking, I have my own family that needs taken care of as well, and I thought about sponsorship too, and then I thought, you know what? I'll just hire a drifter to kill him.
that might be the
guys
easier
said $1,200. You do both of them and an uncle.
We had talked about off the air about the lie detector test, and I have to admit, I'm dying to know what your not lie detector find out is someone cheating. But I have this thing with offbeat reasons to use a lie detector. Like, I can think of one of them for your show.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, now I'm not saying this is true, but I'm saying if it is, I'm a little paranoid. I'm secure sometimes, but sometimes I'm paranoid. Like, I think you have a right that everybody that works in your show thinks that you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's somebody here, the answer might be no. Maybe there's someone here, they lie to you, but you get this feeling they don't think you're funny. Mm-hmm. I don't think they should have to work here. So I think if they take a lie detector test and they don't think you're funny, they can't really do the job.
So they would
get fired.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's other jobs, don't get me wrong, where you can not like your boss but still do the job. That wouldn't apply for everybody. But here, it's a creative. They have to creatively think you're funny to do the job.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying there is somebody here that thinks that. I'm saying hypothetically.
Well, she left about 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
but yeah, she was here. No, I like that kind of
like,
stuff.
Like, sometimes there's someone in my life, like, that I think doesn't like me. Maybe it's a waitress at a comedy club. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I'm like, God, would I love to give them a lie detector test.
Well... If that's code for anal, I'm with you.
No, what?
Because that's what we used to call it.
Oh, the lie detector.
Yeah,
it's like I call pot cookies when I'm with my girlfriend. We used to go, don't forget the cookies.
Yeah, it's smart.
And the bowl.
I like when you start talking in code, but it's just the two of you.
In the car?
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah, I say F and S a lot, but don't actually say the whole word because I always think I'm on the radio. All right, you want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Yes.
With us?
See if I'm good at this. Who's the best at this? I heard there's
Probst.
The best
Probst
celebrity is Jeff Probst from Survivor, which
really?
Is inexplicable, but he's good. You have it?
They explain
like
the rules.
I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there.
I hate sushi.
And then there are times when sushi goes through you and
See,
you
have
think,
to stay
why
loose.
Did I just eat it?
Okay, let's get
it.
Self-explanatory,
I've done
yes?
a little bit of this.
All right, here we go.
Oh, I'm getting nervous.
Don't let doubt enter your mind.
Okay.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Maury Povich. What he did was wrong.
Oh,
I think he's a pig.
God, Ditto. I was just saying that on the way here. You know, you should have his show.
Yeah. He's a family man. I think he's being railroaded.
What are you giving compliments to him for? You're the family man. Gee, all you do is talk about your wife and how much you love her.
You listening, honey? I'm going to need to bring you home, by the way, Todd. I'll tell you, I like Jimmy Kimmel, but not so funny. I think I'm funnier than he is.
Oh, my God. On the way here, I told my girlfriend, I'm like, what did Jimmy Kimmel get that show for? That guy's not even talented. Adam Carolla, oh, don't even get me started.
On the other hand, he is a comedic genius.
Well, he is. I got to agree with you there because we were saying that, but it's, I don't think he has the, you just something, you have that plus something else. I don't know what it is.
Je ne sais quoi, I think they call it.
Yes.
Heather Locklear, she's a lot foxier than Denise Richards.
Oh, let me tell you something. I'd rather look at you. I'd rather look at you.
Wow, that was nice.
Very nicely done.
Is that all right?
That was powerful.
Exceptional work, really. Oh,
I'm sweating over here. Why am I sweating?
You brought it home right at the end.
You really did bring it home at the end. Locklear Richards? No.
I veered off once. And you know, when I caught, someone gave me advice. I started talking about me. It's all about you. I started saying something. I went, no, that's not the way to do it.
Yeah. Again, honey, you listening? It's not about you. It's about me. Todd Glass, thank you very much. It was stellar work.
Thank you very much.
I'd plug your thing, but you're, when's the pilot coming out?
Todd's never mind, coma. Don't worry.
All right.
I mean that in a nice way. I'm afraid. I know you don't. Plugging things sucks. I don't want you to. I'm a parent now. I'll walk out of here and be like, oh, geez, I tried to help the guy. He was like, no.
No, I'm fine. I'm glad you just come on.
I'm trying to get my mom. Rodeo. Just help me with my mom. Somebody out there, please call in. $2,000 a month, help her.
Otherwise,
she's going to prostitute herself, and I will make her do it.
Or you go the drifter route.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back now. Guy Aoki and Company, who's, yes, Todd.
I'll be at the Improv tonight.
There's something to plug.
10:30 college show.
Todd Glass going to be at the Improv out here, the Melrose Improv. All right. Guy Aoki is coming in next with Teddy Z. Who is Guy Aoki and Teddy Z, you might ask? Well, Guy's the co-founder and president of the Media Action Network for Asian Americans. We had a little trouble with them. We're going to bring them on and clear the air. It could get ugly, but I'm hoping we bury the hatchet. Guy will come in here. He'll state his point of view. I'll explain mine, and we'll see what happens after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Remember, he loves you too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now it is time to take care of a little unfinished business. Guy Aoki is in studio. He's a co-founder and president of the Media Action Network for Asian Americans. He's brought along Teddy Z, who's the co-chairperson for the Asian Excellence Awards and the thing that got us into trouble in the first place, and a man about town, big producer, Teddy Z. Guy, welcome to the show. Teddy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam.
I know you've written some horrible things about me.
Me? No, it must be somebody else.
I know you assume I'm a racist because of things I've said in the past. About the Asian community. Hmm. But first, let me say this. I was sort of thinking about it last night, and I realized, well, A, I've said far more good things about the Asian community, use them as an example of a group that takes care of their children, that puts an emphasis on education, that looks after their family. And I've said that many, many times. I hope you've heard that as well.
Well, I just hear the racial slurs, Adam. That's all I hear.
Right. Sorry. But you understand comedy. In doing 1,000 hours of comedy a year on radio without a script, things are going to fly out. They're going to fly out about overweight people. They're going to fly out. I've said more things about my family, more things about just about every religion and every culture than I have about Asian.
But we still feel that there's like a double standard because, you know, you can make fun of different groups, and we've heard you make fun of different groups, but you never call them by racial slurs. And you've called us Chinamen. Ooh. You've called us gook.
Yes.
And we've written repeated letters to you. I mean, you have the dubious distinction of being the person that Mana has sent more letters to in our 14-year history. And, you know, it goes back to 1997. You know, you were on K-Rock, you know, Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
And you're making this this parody about how people should eat pies. Like, not enough people are eating pies in this country.
Yeah,
and you went to a list of all the groups that need to eat more pie. You talked about blacks in a lighthearted kind of way and all that, and Arabs. Mm-hmm. But then when you got to Asians, you said, you know, you never see no Chinaman eating no pie. So we wrote a letter and said, look, you guys, I mean, Chinaman, it's a racial slur dating back to the 1800s. Really, you shouldn't be using that word.
Well, they used to use it on a popular TV show for many years in the 70s called Kung Fu.
Right, which is in the 1800s, and that was used in a derogatory kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always been used in a derogatory kind of way.
All right, well, you know, I got to say, there is a thing, and I'm not trying to nitpick here, but obviously the N-word, unacceptable.
Right.
Some of the other words you've spoken, unacceptable. But you can say WAP, and you can say Guinea, and you can say kraut. And there's many other terms that sort of are. So there's some that are sort of on the cusp. And sometimes, as a radio show host, I'm not trying to make excuses, but you do want to hover around wherever that division is, wherever that line is that could possibly be offensive. You do want to hover around that line, and once in a while you step over it.
Yeah, but what I want to ask you is, you know, if we keep writing letters to you to explain to you, and you've had the K-Rock managing editor, I mean, manager of the station, Trip mm-hmm. Reed, telling you you shouldn't use that word, and, you know, your past manager, Howard Lapidus, told you you shouldn't use that word when mm-hmm. you use them politically incorrect. In fact, he told me, I give you my word, he will never use that word again, yes. And then, you know, and you're on level again, and you're talking about... Job.
Well, I mean, this is over an 11-12 year period. I mean, this is thousands of hours of radio.
No one else has said as much as you.
Oh, please. Seriously. That cannot be true.
I'm sorry, it is.
A couple of screw-ups over the course of 10, 11 years is not a lot. Well, do you actually think I'm racist? There's a question.
I don't know you, Adam, because I just met you now. All I know is based on what you say about the Asian community, I mean, how you belittle the Asian community.
Oh, that is completely false.
I think the sense
I do not belittle the Asian community.
You were politically incorrect in 2000, and you said mm-hmm. you got to hold on to those Chinamen because they're greased with Kung Pao chicken, and you got to hold on to them because they're small and they're short. And
these are jokes.
And on Loveline, you go and talk about, you know, Asian prostitutes all the time, and you talk about Asian men having small penises and all these...
For the sake of comedy, that's all there is. I mean, I'm not saying it's all there is there's Asians, but when you... Big Tad comes in here, we do fat jokes. Breska comes in here, we do lesbian jokes. Jerron comes in here, we do black jokes.
Yeah, but as you said, you know you wouldn't use the N-word because you'd be fired the next day, but you still feel no reason to stop saying gook in Chinaman.
I've not said gook on this show.
You said it on Loveline.
I've said it once 6 years ago.
Isn't it once to me?
Well, maybe it is, but I don't think that's a history of using that word.
Well, I said mostly Chinaman.
But really, realistically, over the years, and by the way, and I, you know, I'm sad that you only hear the slurs and the handful of them that have happened over the countless thousands of hours I've been on the radio, because the good things I've said is far outweighed that. And by the way, that's from the heart. The other stuff is just for comedic effect. I'm trying to be funny. Obviously, if I meant it, I wouldn't say it.
Can I step in here, Adam?
Yes.
Because I actually hear what you're saying, and there are a lot of people in the community who did not take offense, but there are also a lot of people who did.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for you because you have a lot of hours you got to put on the air. And it's a struggle to mm-hmm. always be consistently funny. And what I was disappointed at personally was I wanted to laugh. I wanted to find some humor. And I just felt like there wasn't a lot of creativity and effort that went into it.
Now, you're talking about the bit we played on this show.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard you. Yes. You're funny.
Well, you know why that one wasn't funny? Dave Damashek, the sports guy, came up with that one. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, but I'm not the expert at funny.
Right. But neither's Dave, evidently. I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, Teddy Z. We should recalibrate here for a second. What happened was about 2 months ago or so, the Asian Excellence Awards was going to be on, which Teddy Z, who's here, produced, correct?
I was involved with, yeah.
Dave, the soon-to-be-fired Dave Damashek, thought it would be funny if we did a bit that we felt, and again, there's a couple things I want to make clear. A, not a racist bone in my body, but that's why I feel I can kid about it. I don't mean it, and there's no history of it, and I live here in Los Angeles. I was born here in Los Angeles. I always worked jobs that were either construction or at a boxing gym, all blue-collar, menial stuff, and always work with people other than Caucasian, and I've never had a problem with anyone ever.
The following week, you had John Cho on the show, and it was great, and he loves you, and you are a supporter of Asians. But there are times when you do step over the line.
Well, I think part of the problem is yes, there are times when Dave steps over the line. I agree with you.
You know what? We'd love to have you at one of the awards show.
So that if you can provide enough security.
Sorry, we can't guarantee that.
I would love,
are out of our hands.
I would love to be there.
No,
I want to see
a really
guy up on the balcony
people.
With his hat turned backwards looking for a clean shot.
Quentin Tarantino was there. He was hilarious, as was Rob Schneider and Bobby Lee. And you know what? I'd want you and your writers to come and really get some great material out of it that everybody can laugh at. And the problem is, right now, yeah, you're going to make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if you make mistakes with the Asian American community, unfortunately, because of this incident, you're going to pay the price. Nobody wants you to pay.
Well,
we want you to succeed. We want
you.
Everybody to get along. We want you to be funny.
Right. Well, I gotta say,
it wasn't a hard battle for the Asian American community because you were an easy target. If Dave had come up with something really hilarious, Guy and I would be arguing about.
I know. It's sad.
At least one of us could laugh and then say, oh, God,
well,
this is a tough battle.
Here's the thing.
What I want to make clear, Adam, is we're not saying you can't make fun of Asian American people. We have a sense of humor.
Thank
and, you know,
Christ.
Sometimes people ask us, do you want us not to make fun of Asian Americans? And I said, no. We want to be included in the mix just as much as we want to be seen on television and in motion pictures. But what you get in trouble is when you generalize about the Asian American community, where you make them out to be foreigners, this kind of thing. Because this is something that we fight all of our lives. Mm. Some of us have been in this country for four generations, like myself and my family. And yet, because of our Asian face, people automatically think foreigner. And so when you go ching-chong, as you did in January, that hurts people to the quick. And that kind of stuff is fighting words for our community.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is, a lot of communities, obviously people aren't as well-versed in what's offensive to your community as you are who reside in that community. There's a lot of times when people said, and they said to me when we were done, you say ching-chong, that's like the N-word. And I was shocked. I was. And obviously, if I thought for a second or knew in advance, Ching Chong was equivalent to the N-word for the Asian community, I never would have okayed the bit because, first off, I don't want any trouble. And secondly, why do I want to give the equivalent to the N-word to people I respect?
Okay, but if we already sent you two letters saying you shouldn't use Chinaman, you keep using it, then what's your excuse for
that? Well, how long has that been?
1997, 2000, 2002?
This is many years ago.
Well, you got
a pretty good HEPA filter on you, though.
We're going to take this opportunity to go forward.
Yes.
And we're
going to
take
Guy,
this
let's move forward
to clear the air.
I want to say this, by the way. I don't want to send you guys in a different direction, but if I was you, I would set my sights on these Mazda TV commercials. Have you seen these ones? They have the engineers from the three different car manufacturers. They got the head engineer from Nissan, Toyota, and Honda. Two white guys and a black guy. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. You've never seen this commercial? Guy, come on, buddy.
Come on, I skip the commercials, man. Like everybody else, I skip the commercials.
Oh, well, even I... Listen, that's why I'm outraged for the Asian community that there's not an Asian engineer for Honda, Nissan, or Toyota. But I don't want to digress.
Can you be our spokesperson for that issue? That'll be great.
Yes. Yes.
That'd be terrific, man.
Well, there's a very good example. No, seriously.
You can lead the protest outside their building.
I have yelled on my Comedy Central TV show and on this TV show. You guys are doing a long-running commercial spot. You have three engineers for Nissan, Toyota, and Honda. Two white guys and a black guy. There's not an Asian guy in this mix. I'm outraged, and I've said that many times.
Okay.
Now,
you don't hear
that. You hear the slurs. But thank me, Guy.
Thank you, Adam.
Okay, Guy.
No, I'm curious, though. So, you deny that you have this bias towards us. So now that we brought these things to your attention, what can we expect from you in the future? Are you going to do ching-chong? You going to do China?
No, well, first off, again, I'm not a racist. I'm a comedian. And it's like if I said, whoa, that Dakota Fanning looks hot, I'm making a joke. You can't call me a pedophile.
Right.
You know, I have to do something. And I realize words can hurt, but please understand, I'm a comedian, please understand, I had no idea. Ching Chong, to most round eyes, as we call ourselves, are just a simple nursery school, whatever, make fun of rhyme. It means nothing to us. We don't know certain things, and I'm glad you've enlightened us.
I don't think I'm here to accuse you of being a racist, but I think a lot of people were offended by what you said.
Well, for that, we apologize. And I do mean we apologize. And,
really,
and again...
I mean, really, you're shooting yourself in the foot because you're in a lot of these cities where there's a very big Asian population.
Right.
And you can't afford to lose people that could be your fans.
But you know what? I'm in cities where there's a lot of white people, a lot of Mexican people, a lot of Jews, a lot of blacks, a lot of Catholics, a lot of Muslims. And I make fun of them, too. And I'm not worried about them losing it because, to me... They know I'm not that guy. And as long as they know I'm not that guy, then I'm free to speak my mind. And I hope everyone who hears me in the future and in the past knows that I have nothing against the Asian community, well, obviously.
I'm just saying you have a reputation.
You're really funny and you have talent.
Thanks.
And I've been around a lot of comedians. I've done movies with Will Smith and Kevin James, Matthew Perry, Damon Wayans. All these guys, they don't rely on offending Asian Americans.
But they didn't have Dave Damashek working for them.
You're going to keep blaming Dave or you take responsibility?
This one, I mean, to be serious, to be honest, again, my name is on the show. I'm responsible for everything that goes on the air.
Just be funny.
I agree. But to call me a racist.
I never called you a racist.
All right, to imply that I'm racist over a bit that I didn't conceive, I didn't plan, I didn't record, and had no part of. I would say that's weak evidence for the racist argument.
Nobody
I'm not trying to pass the buck. I should have listened to it. I should have researched it. I should have. But, again, it's not me who did the bit.
Yeah, but, Adam, I don't... Okay.
Yes.
Now I don't want to let you slip away here, okay? Because you were called for comment for weeks after the incident. And you, as producer and as the name of the show... did not step up and take responsibility.
Right.
You had to have advertisers, seven of your money-paying advertisers, threaten to walk away and threaten the livelihood of your show.
Well, yes. They did walk away.
And so but all I'm saying is, Adam, you don't want to have that happen, and you don't either.
No, I understand,
so
and it would be...
responsibility, not on Dave. It's funny. Dave's a good guy. He's funny. Nobody's saying he's a racist. Nobody's saying you're a racist. All we're wanting to do here is to say from you, hear you say, that's cool. Please understand, I want to try comedy. I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to give it my best shot. But you're trying to wiggle here, and it just makes me uncomfortable as a business person. If I were your manager, I'd say, Adam, come on, have some fun. Take your licks and move on.
Well, let me explain a few things. I know we're running very late here. One is there's a protocol. You don't just pick up the phone and get anyone to just apologize. If it's me, if it's Howard Stern, whoever it is, you don't do it. They're channels. It goes through.
To take those channels, Adam. When I heard you were taking over for Howard Stern in the fall, I called your publicist six times in November and December.
Right.
I left an email. I sent an email to your manager. I called them twice.
I don't have a manager.
They blew me off. Well, now
well,
I know why.
Well, yes.
Now
that's, I know why. That's what
they
do.
Blew you off. And so what I'm trying to say is that...
I know, but they don't even tell me.
Well, maybe you ought to get better publicists and better managers. Because they could have avoided this.
CBS
told me.
All it took was for you.
No, I'm talking about my manager and my publicist.
Once you realized that there was an issue, what happened was it took the force and might of... the community to get you to move. We don't want to do that.
No, I understand.
We would rather have you say yes.
I agree. I'm not trying to cut you off. We're just pressed for time. I do want to say no. I'm not trying to pass the buck to Dave Damashek, even though that's what it sounded. All I was saying, just to explain myself, is I didn't conceive that bit.
Therefore,
but you did the other four or five.
Yes, I copped to those readily. Okay. I just don't want you to think I'm a racist. No. Number one, number two, I don't want you to think I have anything but the utmost respect for the Asian community, and always have, and have spoken about it many, many times. Number three, as far as the things go, where CBS, whatever. Yes, I was aware you guys called them, but they said let us handle this, and they say let us handle this when everybody calls, and I say fine, handle it. That's what happened. And then they called back and they said, now we have a problem. And I said, fine, well, what do you want me to do? And they said, well, Guy Aoki, this and that. And I said, let's have him on the show and let's air it out. And here you are.
I'm actually glad this happened.
Me too.
Because we're here and everything's cool. And I'm confident that in the future...
Listen,
you're going to show your...
We got to end the show. Can we just continue the conversation after we...
Absolutely.
The show's way over.
Listen, I'm sorry, guys. Thanks for coming on. I hope we've settled this and cleared the air. I will try my best. I have... If I get out of line, we will have a one-on-one dialogue about it. But don't count on it. And Guy, come on. Lighten up. Now have a sense of humor.
I have
please.
A sense of humor. When you're funny, I'll laugh.
All right. Well, you'll be waiting a while. Yeah. All right. I want to thank everyone that came in, including Guy and Teddy C. We'll be back in about 22 hours. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.